This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. La, la, la.
Let me first say congratulations to you, Mike, on keeping it in your pants.
Thank you.
The way that someone who has been there before does.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's different now, but I'm certainly no less excited.
And I think it will give you 5, 6, 7 unadulterated minutes to bask in it, to glow in it.
When you tell me when you're ready.
And I agree.
Because I am prepared to deliver that for you.
I think that you have to super serve your audience, though.
Yes, how so?
Of course.
Let me explain it to you.
All right, tell me.
The Red Sox winning the World Series certainly is a gigantic story.
Yes.
Huge. But we broadcast from Washington, D.C., as we have for over 23 years.
The nation's capital.
Yeah.
We're going to start, Mike, with something a little more important than the Boston Red Sox.
I can't even imagine what would be more important, but share it with me, please.
Now, I'll leave the microphones open. If we could please have complete silence during the next... Well, it's over 2 minutes.
Very good.
Bear with us, please.
I have no problem with anything they did. Nothing. No problems for me. You would hope it wouldn't happen to you, but it did. It's been a while since that's happened to us. Been a long time. And... you know, our guys are going to have to deal with that and see if we can bounce back next week and play a real important game on the road again.
Well, nothing's been the same since he left that day. Momentum for the skin slowly faded away. We know he loves his cars, he loves the fast track. But in Redskins land, we're glad he's coming back. As Redskins fans, we're not trying to be glib.
Everybody sing it together this time,
Dallas,
okay?
Dallas, our coach is Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs!
We love your legacy.
Joe Gibbs!
I have no problem with anything they did.
DC, Joe. As your 12th man,
I don't think we've ever played it this far, Mike, but today, right. We're going to play it to the label.
Wow.
I hope you can understand the thought here.
It seems like it was just yesterday that they gave us this song after we got the coach.
Sure, we got a national show, kind of, but we're not on in Boston.
Right.
Let's spotlight on Washington, D.C. and the sports story that's got the nation's capital on its toes. Coach Joe.
Joe Gibbs.
We love your legacy, Joe Gibbs.
The game hasn't passed you by.
For people in other cities, we should say that sports songs are very popular in this town.
They love them.
Little garage band.
I have no problem with anything they did.
They was rocking at every home game. The Hawks, they were knocking their opponents insane. Bugle and Pettibone were there by his side.
Uh-huh.
The Chief was in the stands promoting skin.
All the same, these songs, aren't they?
Where are these songs today?
Football at its finest at RFK.
Right here.
I have no problem with anything they did. Nothing. No problems for me.
Joe Gibbs. Welcome back to D.C.
Welcome back, Coach Joe.
We're believing in you. Work your magic like you used to do.
Like you used to do.
Come on, you got one touchdown.
Joe Gibbs. Welcome back.
You got 6 points.
And burgundy and gold will all stand proud. Our coach is back. It's looking great for our team.
And at least you didn't get down on one knee and pray and not look at the field.
Joe Gibbs.
You didn't pray on it.
Joe Gibbs.
How's this end?
Probably fades out beautifully. Yes, it fades out like any great song.
He held him to under 55.
Yeah, he did. Way to go.
Bravo.
All right, so, Mike, I hope you can understand the
Red
Sox.
Oh, of course
Sox
I can,
thing.
Yeah. And, of course, that has kind of a New England theme to it also, you know. I mean, I certainly don't want to overwhelm the people of Washington, D.C., but we do have an affiliate in Portland, Maine, so that's as close as I can go.
Well, nothing's been the same since he left that day.
No, it hasn't.
Stop that.
We'll be riding wild.
See Arnold at the game yesterday?
Yes.
Go, Chargers, go.
Yeah, he's making all the right moves, making all the right political moves so he can solidify his place in history.
Please sing our names.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that is so nice.
Hello!
I have no problem with anything they did. Nothing. No problem. No problems with for me. You would hope it wouldn't happen to you.
Who he?
They did. It's been a while since that's happened to us.
Who he?
A long time.
Thank you, Charlie.
I love it.
I'm not happy.
I know you're not. You're bad. You know you should be happy about Paula. It's about your son, Matt the Pollock.
Being careful?
Yeah.
It's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
That's funny, isn't it, Julia Roberts?
There she is. Yeah, baby.
That's right, House. Mike, as we head towards the end of October,
yes,
about some of the magic of famous meteorologist Burger Jeff.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
A pumpkin-colored sky on the eastern horizon this final Monday in October. Sun's been up now for the last few minutes. Good morning. We have some blazing autumn color on this Monday morning, illuminated by golden sunlight.
He loves to be a poet, doesn't he?
Well, what have we here?
I'm not really sure.
Golden. Something stinks like stale French fries.
Right.
What the bleep happened here?
Again, not really sure.
Suria ya viene llegando.
Okay.
Get back to work, you morons!
What not?
Buenos dias.
Oh, how about the phone number?
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are high end.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Now, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
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 Let's get our Jesus on.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it, Jesus style.
Let's kick it with him.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO, biggest celebrity of them all. Who's down with G.O.D.?
Yeah.
Buenos dias.
Right, right. How are you anyway?
Yeah, baby.
Don and Mike Show, here it is. Speaking Monday. And our phone number is the same as Friday's was. 877-365-3636.
All right.
All right, Mr. Two Times in 4 years.
Wow.
Ready to get it out of your system?
Yes, yes. Do you have any of those songs? Do you have Tessie? Do you have that thing you played the other day?
Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Wow.
There's the music.
Wow. What a team, what a team. We are the champions. You know, I'll tell you how I feel. I feel different than 2004. That's what everybody's talking about today because it is 2004 was 86 years. And the thought was in my head in 2004, really the serious thought, because it's baseball and anything can happen, that you're going to die before you see it happen.
Uh-huh.
So now it's I'll tell you what I enjoy.
You've
more than
death twice.
What I enjoy now is to watch these games in the postseason and not have that feeling in the pit of my stomach, that tightness in my chest. And the fact is that they made it close at the end of the game, and I got that familiar feeling of, you know, if we lose this one, if the Red Sox lose this one, I hate saying we. I don't like to say we. I like to say we. When I say we, if I say we during any of this discussion, remember, I am saying we as fans.
We the fans.
Not we as the team. It was big-time fun.
We.
W-I-I. But,
the promotion that killed listeners in Sacramento. We. Yes.
We. It was great. It was kind of, anticlimactic at the end of it. It was actually kind of a weird little feeling. You know, and I'm sitting there in the middle of the game when the Red Sox had a lead, and, of course, they had this big lead in the series. They have a big lead in the game last night. And I was just complacent, just sitting there drinking it in and watching it at my home with my lady, Carla.
The true Red Sox fans, I'm sure, are behaving like Mike. It's the posers, the pretend Red Sox fans.
Latecomers.
Well, you have...
Mike, I hate to say this to you, but it's the Yankee factor almost that the Red Sox have become the cool team
to root for. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know... And that scumbag, Scott Boras, the agent for A-Rod, who decides to, have his little press conference in the middle of the game last night. And as soon as I got done screaming about how bad that was, the next comment out of my mouth, I think, was something along the lines of, yeah, he would look pretty good in a Red Sox uniform. And I realized we're becoming the Yankees, the Yankee fans, because now it's greed.
Damn Red Sox.
Now it's almost turning to greed right now.
My prediction, please, sealed on the wall.
Oh, you know, that's all I was thinking about coming in here. I wanted to see what you had to say.
Break that seal.
Give it to Mike.
Let me see.
Sealed by Rob, stapled by Rob.
Uh-huh. All right. See what he said. All right.
Don's prediction from the start of the series.
God.
That Mike dreaded.
Oh, that's Rob.
Rob. Rob, did you make sure you sealed it enough?
Did.
All right.
That's Rob times 1,000.
Sox win in 4.
Wow.
There it is. And that's been on the wall. How about you?
Read the whole thing, though.
Yes, sucks D. Yes, sucks D.
Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
God, man, it's good. Yeah. It's good. And now with the fact that I'm keeping it in my pants today does not prevent me from giving Carla one prime directive today when I went to work. I said, get all the stuff. Go ahead and order all the stuff.
Oh, of course.
Because now I want all the stuff that goes along with it. Sure. I want the hats. I want the sweatshirts. I want the jackets. I want all the stuff. I already have an ALCS hat sitting on my desk at home. I already have that. It's fun. This is good. But here's where I feel weird. Now it's us.
Yeah.
Now it's us.
Everybody's got
the Red
for
Sox
you.
Fans are going to be the kind of fans that everybody rolls their eyes at, like we used to roll our eyes at the Yankees.
It's already before 2004. It's already happening.
Before 2004, that didn't happen. And when I had that feeling about A-Rod when they made that announcement in the middle of the game, I suddenly said, "Oh my God, we are becoming them. We as fans are becoming because we're not even enjoying the second world championship in 4 years. I'm already starting to think about what is it going to be next year?" And that is the greed for so long I looked at Yankee fans and I said, please don't do that. You're greedy. You're evil, greedy fans. But I'll tell you what we don't have that Yankee fans still have. We don't have that swagger. I swear to God,
not yet.
With two world championships, we don't have that swagger. What does Rob Spiewak write?
Rob Spiewak writes, Mike, why don't you order 2 quarts of 2007 World Series Carl Yaz personal lubricant.
Stop it, you.
That's a commemorative item.
It's the best.
Hello, Don and Mike. That's an email we just got from someone named Rob.
You'll be happy to know that during the game, though, towards the end, I did have my little Rudy moment.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I started thinking. I didn't cry, but I did fill up a little, got a little cloudy, thinking about my old man. Thinking about how, he never got a chance to see, 2 world championships in 4 years.
Yeah,
your
dad's looking down. Going,
you told me that in 1987, I would have said you were full of it.
Your dad's looking down going, come on, be a man.
Is he slapping me from heaven?
We've been through this before.
Is he reaching down, cuffing me on the back of my head from heaven?
Damn dummy.
Come on, get your act together.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, have Mike do the speech in the Arnold voice. It sounds better that way.
Speech about what?
The speech on the Red Sox.
Yes, that's right. I wrote a speech before I came in here. My acceptance speech.
Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. Were you upset when they started bringing up A-Rod top of the 8th inning?
They're
about to win their 7th World Series?
It was ridiculous. I mean, it was totally calculated by the agent for A-Rod, who everybody knows, Scott Boras, his super agent Scott Boras. I thought, and the fact, here's what made me even more angry, is the fact that Joe Buck and Tim McCarver, nobody said that. It was like a complete commercial for A-Rod becoming a free agent, and nobody called him on it, which surprised me. I was really...
Actually, I do remember McCarver not saying a word.
It was weird. It was very weird.
Are you mad because it was a Yankee somehow jumping in the moment and taking away from...
No, not the Yankees. It was the fact that it was... anybody that knows anything about baseball and knows anything about, has read anything about Scott Boras, this agent that gets these contracts for, knows that what he was doing was taking an entire network and manipulating it, and nobody called him on it, which blew me away.
Wow.
but your team was winning its fourth consecutive World Series
right.
game on its way to winning its second in 4 years.
Right, right.
Okay, nit, meat, pick.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I can nitpick.
Come on, really?
But no, it was something that it was noticeable to me because at that point, you know, the game was not, won. It was in the middle of the game, which is, I just thought it was kind of a...
Like there wasn't
Well, as
enough...
Jerry Remy said of the Red Sox announcer, he thought it was disgusting. I thought it was disgusting, too.
Oh, the Red Sox, that's like saying Larry Michael picks the Redskins to win this week.
He is a homer.
Yeah, right.
He is a homer, but it's just, I mean, what amazed me is that I thought that it was pretty amazing manipulation, and nobody, none of the broadcasters said anything, and if that's nitpicking, Don, let me explain. When you're at the top of the mountain, and you've won these world championships, you have to find fault in someone. And, since there was no one to find fault on the Boston Red Sox, and I mean top to bottom, even the utility players,
Perfect.
Nobody to find fault with.
Can I tell you one
thing,
You
can certainly
though?
Find fault with the agent for the evil empire.
If you were playing the Where's Leroy game last night?
Yes.
Ooh, big winner, Denver, Colorado.
Yes, yes.
Big winner.
Yes, I love the two ladies.
Yes.
The two larger ladies that
yes.
were sitting in back of home
and
plate.
And cats in the crowd,
yes.
brothers in the crowd,
right.
sisters in the crowd.
Absolutely, yes. They win. They win on that one. I can't claim victory on that one.
And the one obnoxious Boston fan who was directly behind home plate wearing a red pullover top and constantly was on the phone waving.
Oh, I hate that.
And then the pitch would happen. He'd put the phone down. He'd react. Then he'd pick it back up. And wave again.
I'm on the TV.
Oh, my God.
That's the new favorite thing. People know they're on TV, and they call their friends on their cell phone.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Mike, they did it for us again. Is this fantastic or what?
It is. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And Donnie, you know why we can feel we can nitpick about stuff like that? It's because ask Michael, because we've spent years with Ralph Houk as our manager, Butch Hobson managing us.
Bye!
Listen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. You can't do that argument anymore.
All of that crap, mm-hmm. I heard it 4 years ago.
So right.
Stop it.
It can't be
Yankees.
Done anymore.
You're the Yankees now.
Can't be. Let's. I am not sure I like the sound of that, but that sounds evil.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Have you heard about the Red Sox wines?
The Red Sox wines?
A-Rod's on TV during the game.
That's a Schilling Chardonnay, a Manning being Merlot, and a Tim Wakefield Cabernacle.
Yeah. Okay.
And the money goes to charity.
You know what the answer to that is? Flutie Flakes. And if you happen to live in the Carolinas, Jake's Flakes.
Jake's Flakes.
When Jake DeLome was good with Carolina.
Yeah. I'm not sure I like the wine idea. I thought the wine seriously was going to be like that. We have suffered so long. No, that's gone. You can't do that anymore.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. What's up? Hello.
Hola, muchachos.
Hola.
Hey, it's Manny Ramirez here.
Hey, Manny.
You think so?
Manny, how you doing, man? You're a bad man.
We finally beat the curse.
It sounds like him, I swear to God.
The curse of Gladys Kravitz.
I guess you
we beat the curse.
Manny, I guess you were right. It really was no big deal, was it?
Manny, not a big deal.
No, now that the game's over, we get to smoke some pot. Thanks, boss, for the pot.
Certainly. Manny, you weren't worried, were you? You weren't worried during the whole series.
Me and Poppy, we hit good for Jew.
That's good. Good job that you hit for Jew. I was glad.
You know what's funny?
What's funny, Manny?
Coco Chris. That's a funny name. Who named their kid Coco Chris?
Now, Manny Ramirez of the Boston Red Sox, did you really know about Gladys Kravitz from Wichita, Kansas?
I tell you, I listen every day, man.
That's great, Manny. And we broke the Gladys Kravitz curse. That's great.
Right.
Now, I didn't need to break the mug.
Any more years with no Gladys Kravitz.
No more Gladys Kravitz.
How come every time I see you on TV, like you only say like 4, 5, 6 words? I've never heard you with a full sentence.
It's really
like,
opening up to us.
Like
because
right now.
They never let me talk. They say I don't have good mic skills. But
Manny, what's the deal with your hair, man? What are you doing with that? I mean, it seems to be getting longer and longer. What are you doing with that?
What do you mean, what I do? I grow it.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't it get in the way? Doesn't it really get to
Mike,
a point? Yeah,
hey, His hair grows.
His hair grows.
By the way,
they can
something.
Doctor tapes.
Hey, Manny.
Case that you can doctor tapes.
Manny, what did you do last night to celebrate the big win?
Well, since no more games, I said smoke some pot. Thanks, boss.
Thanks, you're welcome.
Boss
anytime.
Send me some pot, and me all and right. Poppy, we blaze off.
Well, Manny, I know you've got to get back to your regimen of working out.
No, I take about 2 weeks off.
All right, Manny. Well, Manny, congratulations. It was a great World Series.
No,
it really
thank you.
Was.
Your favor.
When will you be washing your helmet?
No, see, that is I rubbed the dirt on there, and it's very good luck.
Very good luck. Okay, Manny.
Are you going to go down to Florida and lick Ted Williams' head for good luck?
No.
No, you're not going to do that?
Why would he do that?
Hey, Manny, will you come to spring training with a different haircut next year?
No.
No, you're going to have the same?
No, I let it grow. I mean, sometimes I get good haircut, and it's...
Would you brush your teeth with Kurt Schilling's love?
No, but Yaz is still fag.
Thank you, Manny.
Thanks, Manny.
Okay, bye-bye.
Adios.
Bye-bye. There he goes.
That's exactly how he sounds. I swear to God.
Sudia ya viene llegando.
That is too funny.
I'm fine.
Hey, man. Yeah, it's all right. No problem.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, first thing I want to do is welcome you back to Vermont on live radio. It's the first time we've heard you in like 20 months.
Well, let me just say that you have that very creepy sound that makes me sound maybe... the sound I'm hearing before we continue is... I'm getting two words right now. Mm-hmm. Crawl space.
Radio guy, maybe. Also, Charlie.
I think a crawl space guy.
Are you a professor that lures some of your postgraduate students back to your home, drugs them with a white wine, and then stabs them to death, cutting them into little pieces?
Well, perhaps. Do you like painting clowns?
Hey, you know, there's one thing about A-Rod, but now the Yankees announced their new manager today, so that's piling
on.
Yeah,
Joe Girardi. Uh-huh. Joe Girardi. That's all right. That doesn't matter.
Let's talk more about you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Nice,
Charlie, are you involved in the academic field at all?
I am not.
Isn't it wonderful to have the show back on live in Vermont?
It's very wonderful.
That's delightful. What do you do besides murder?
I decapitate.
Oh, I believe him. It's very Halloween like.
Tell me something. Will you be setting up for the children on Wednesday?
Oh, yes. We've got the trap door on the front porch, so they can go right to the basement.
Will you be wearing a trench coat made of human skin?
I will be wearing nothing.
Oh, dear. Wow. Oh, dear. That's nasty. What type of treats will you be handing out, Charlie?
Poisonous.
Wow. This is creepy.
Apples with razor blades. That's a good old one, Charlie.
That's so yesterday.
You don't hear about it, but it's a classic. It's vintage, Charlie.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's vintage.
The Snickers bars with different kinds of nuts.
Oh my! Oh. Your home in Vermont is it tucked way in a rural area, deep in the pine trees?
We are very close to other houses.
Oh, you are.
Oh my! Do you have to go elsewhere to bury the bodies, Charlie?
No, just right to the basement.
Charlie, did you torture animals when you were a small boy?
We tied cats' tails together.
Oh. Were you breastfed, Charlie? Charlie?
I didn't hear you.
Were you breastfed, boy?
I was.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Still am.
Where do you dump the bodies, Charlie?
We just bury them right in the basement.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Does the smell of formaldehyde get you aroused, Charlie?
No. We use alcohol.
You say we. Would that be would we be ones to assume that you have an accomplice?
Many.
Many you?
Oh.
Many. Oh,
what about your mumsy?
Mumsy is in the basement as well.
Oh, do you keep her in a cage?
No, she's along with all the other kids.
How many people of different ages do you have in cages, Charlie?
No cages. Oh, really? Under the dirt.
Oh, under the dirt. Oh, they're no longer breathing. They sleep. The eternal sleep. Is that right, Charlie?
Yes. They are swimming with the fishes.
Do you make clothing in your basement, Charlie? Do you make clothing out of human skin?
We do not.
Oh, we do not. Oh, all right. It would be more funny. Just to give you a little comedy primer, it would be more funny if you said, yes, you do.
Yes, we do.
You see, run with this, please. Help us out here, Charlie.
Yes, we do.
Now, do you have a full complement of surgical implements down in your basement?
A full compliment, yes.
Isn't it true that your basement looks something like that scene from the original Batman movie, the Tim Burton one with the Joker? Went to see the doctor that gave him that face. Charlie, I think I speak for Mike. I am tiring of you.
Yes, it's boring me. You know, you're not offering anything new and interesting. Like perhaps having a full complement of human hair wigs.
I'll see you at the Harvard Club.
Yes. We're delighted to be back on in the Pine Tree State. I'm not the Pine Tree State.
The Green Mountain State.
Maine, one of your close neighbors is the Pine Tree State.
Stand by. We'll send you a Don and Mike ascot.
Oh, I would be honored.
Farewell, Charlie.
Farewell.
Yes,
goodbye, you old queen. You know, that's what I really think of you, really.
Yes.
I picture you there wearing a woman's nightgown. And
I wear nothing.
And a lady's wig.
Oh, it's the second time he's wanted to say he wears nothing. Right. Emphasis. Yes. Well, have a happy Halloween, Charlie.
And you as well.
Your big man feet. And your body in whatever various stage it is with the shots you've been getting down in Mexico, Charlie.
Yes. Buds developing. Other things shrinking.
It's human growth hormone, isn't it, Charlie?
Yes.
Yes, it's HGH.
HGH. Makes me 6'8", 280 pounds.
You get the impression this conversation could go on for 4 hours.
Oh, I know it could.
By that time, we would not have one single listener left.
But I believe that when we hang up, the conversation probably will still continue.
Yes, of course. Yes, by himself into the mirror.
It has been my pleasure.
Happy Halloween, Charlie.
Happy Halloween.
And go, let's go Red Sox, right?
Let's go Red Sox.
Wasn't that magical last night, Charlie?
Yes, but you don't care about that, do you, Charlie?
I do care about
that. Do you care?
Didn't that make you want to go out and eat human flesh?
Yeah.
Back to the Red Sox one. Didn't you want to just go bite someone right in the neck, Charlie? Eat their skin?
Charlie, you're not responding.
And then, as Mike suggested earlier, make it into clothing.
Are you going to drink human blood on All Hallows Eve?
Why limit it to just All Hallows Eve?
Okay.
All right. We tire of you.
We tire of you.
Be gone.
Eject.
Eject.
No, eject. No. Don't say eject. Hey, listen, you old queen. Seriously, hang up.
Goodbye, Don and Mike. It's been fun.
Bye-bye.
Happy Halloween.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye,
Piss
friend. Hang up the phone.
Piss off.
3, 2, 1.
Piss off.
It's gone. Oh, I truly hate the individuals who linger.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Chrysalis the pupa.
What?
He's doing a Silence of the Lamb thing, right? The pupa? He's doing that moth thing where he put the moths in the throat.
I got you.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
My buddy!
Hey!
Oh, my
All right.
God.
Red Sox general manager Theo Epstein on the line with us right now.
How y'all doing today?
Theo, another fantastic team assembled for the 2007 run.
Yeah, the 2007 Red Sox won last night.
How do you, what do you attribute your success to, Theo?
I'm doing it everything. I'd like to know if I can go out with you all. And
how do you spell Red Sox?
R-E-D, Sox, S-K-O-C-K.
Perfect. Skok.
Right, Tom.
Red Skok.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I wanted to yell at Mike for gloating about his bastard Yankees. Or his bastard
what?
Red Sox.
And I believe Tom, hold on, wait for it. Tom roots for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm pretty angry. I'm infuriated right now.
Why are you
he never enjoyed his stupid flight that he got with his daughters. I'm happy that no one liked it but him.
Why, excuse me, you seem very upset.
What? What are you talking about?
You seem very upset. What's bothering you?
What is it, Charlie?
It's bothering me that your stupid Red Sox won because I'm an Orioles fan, you bastard.
Well, there's no need for that hostility. I always thought that the Red Sox and the Orioles were kind of simpatico in their hatred of the Yankees, but I suppose the tide may be turning. And you know something, Charlie?
Yes?
It's something I need to learn to accept. And, of course, with the banner hanging from Fenway Park,
oh,
I have no problem accepting it.
Oh, God.
I'll accept being the top of the
mountain. There it is.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. The best. The best.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Welcome to our Red Sox celebration.
Yay. Hello. And I know you love it more than anybody.
Hello. I don't begrudge you your happiness.
No, you don't. You don't. But, I mean, I get to a point where I show so much joy where you tire of it.
Oh, no, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you this year. I'm especially
Yeah, but if
happy.
I kept going like that, I mean, it would get to a point where, you know, your happiness for me would turn to to
anger.
Evil.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Mike, it's Kath again.
Oh, it's your sis. It's your sis.
Hi,
Mike.
Kathy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Did you enjoy the game last night?
Oh, was it last night?
I don't think I can do this again. After the Charlie guy, I don't think I've got the energy.
Yes, Kathy. Is this really? This doesn't sound like the same Kathy.
I think it was a different guy, John.
I think it was a different guy.
A guy pretending.
Yes.
Mike, not to change the focus away from all that is great with the Boston Red Sox.
Well, there's actually other stories.
Some of us did have other things going on this weekend.
Right.
I count myself among the lucky. Anybody else here get a drunken call from Joe?
No.
I received two of them.
Two drunken calls from Joe.
One of them I'm sure I'm going to have to delete part out because he does say fire truck.
Ah. Oh, so these were on, were they both recorded calls or were they live calls?
Both recorded.
What time?
I believe at 3 a.m. both times.
Whoa.
Woo-hoo. Whoa.
Two separate nights. Two separate
Not noon
calls.
On Sunday?
No. Late, late, Jackson.
3 a.m.
Well, that's a normal time to get a drunken call.
Late as balls.
This is good. I always like it when Ardinger drinks and dials.
This is Ardinger here.
Ardinger. Coherent at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Just wants to know where I am.
Howdy. I'm not here.
Please enter your password.
Come on.
Main menu. To listen to your messages, press 1 to... First saved message.
Hey, it's me. It's about 11:15. Just want to touch base and see how you guys are going crazy around our house. And I also want
to... Hold on. How do I get rid of that? Hold on.
I would...
It's kind of a private message.
Joe? Message skipped.
It's
next
my
message.
Daughter.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not calling you back. So call me back.
It's a very good idea for you.
Call me back. It's like 8:25, so call me back before I get too drunk.
All right, so this is 8:20. Is it really 8:25?
8:25, I guess.
It's not like 3 o'clock.
So I'm not going to remember this tomorrow. So call me back. Bye.
You're going to like this idea. He's thinking and drinking.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7 to save it. Message deleted. Next message.
Don't you know it's 3:20 in the morning?
Wow.
Man, you have to be quiet. You can call me back later. Yeah.
Much later.
End of message.
That
to delete
was...
this message.
So
8
o'clock and
save...
3 o'clock.
Message deleted. Next message.
Oh, he leaves another one.
It's so late, I'm calling up. Snark. But it is so late, and nobody's home on the West Coast because they're out partying. And so I decided to call my gay friends like you. Talk to you later. Hey, by the way, don't forget your soda money. Good day. Oh, wait a minute. You gave me your soda money. Never mind. I said good day.
Yeah.
End of message. To delete this message,
he doesn't even hang
seven.
Up.
Message deleted.
Wow.
Is check erased messages.
That's it. That's a
wow.
That's my weekend with Joe. Three messages, not two. Three messages.
Did you ever find
Joe.
Out what the idea was?
No idea.
No. It's
three
a shame.
Different great tones there. The first one was very combative. The second one whimsical and quiet.
Right.
And the third one sort of resigned that he's drunk and he has no one to talk to.
If we're talking chronologically here, you're talking about getting one at about 8 o'clock, then one at 3 o'clock, and then one at God knows what time it was.
Right. My favorite was the quiet one.
The quiet one was the one in the middle, right?
Yeah. And he did say F, but he used it as a word of action.
Right.
And another time he mentioned something to do with oral.
Yes.
That he also had to
seems to be
out.
The recurring theme in that. He seems to be going back to that all the time.
What was going on this weekend, Joe?
Joe, what was happening?
I don't recall.
You don't remember your idea?
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah, I remember the idea. I told Don that one.
Oh, yeah, you did. You told me that idea.
How was the idea?
Aces, Mike. It wasn't an idea for the show. It was an idea for me in my personal life.
Oh, very good.
Aces.
Very good. Good. Well, you took it to heart, I imagine.
I'll share it with you now.
Okay.
Read a page of the Bible every day.
Very good. Very, very good.
You already did
Joe, what time do you have any idea what time you turned in on Saturday, Sunday morning?
Oh, four-ish.
Four-ish. And are you all by your onesies when you're making these calls?
Well, the wife was sleeping upstairs.
Right.
But she knows I'm prone to this behavior.
Sort of just sitting alone and...
You know, Mike really, really wants some of these calls, Joe.
I need his number.
I'll give it to you before the end of the show. Actually, I'll give it to you Friday.
All right.
Yeah. Let me give it to you Friday.
But, you know, you can't plan these things. They have to be spontaneous. I
understand.
You can tell.
Yeah. I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you Friday or Monday of next week. I'll make sure I give you that number.
You do that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Bye, Joe.
Okay. Good day.
Bye. There you go. You there. Really do want the calls from him, though, don't you? Really?
Not when I hear that, no. Because if I got a call at like 3 o'clock in the morning, how do you do your ringing situation? I mean, do you have the phone right next to your bed? Do you have the ringer turned off?
Cell phone is downstairs with the ringer turned off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the cell phone. That's the solution. I'll have the cell phone on vibrate and do it that way.
Sure.
That's exactly how I'll do it.
Give him your number then.
I've moved past that, though. You know, I've moved past that real desire to get the phone calls from Joe Ardinger, because it's just I hear these and I somehow enjoy them when they're directed at other people. I don't have that same lust of getting Joe's phone number.
We got a time before we hit a break here. Hold on a second. Here's something about radio that I think you'll like. It's about names, about DJ names.
Oh, good.
And how DJ names are changing through the years.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
I have a fake DJ name. So does Buzz.
Right.
A lot of cats in this business do. I was looking at this this trade magazine, Radio and Records, same thing that I read you the article about Michael Hughes from last week.
Mm-hmm.
They got this thing called the programming department, where they just write about disc jockeys that are changing markets and changing jobs.
Right.
And as I read it, I saw immediately you can tell which guys are old school and which guys now are new school with the fake names.
Okay.
So, let me see.
You going to give us some of the old school names?
I'll just give them to you in the order that they are in this magazine.
Okay.
Jay Taylor. I would say that's an old school
name.
Yeah,
it sounds old school to me.
Michael Bryan.
Yeah. Old school, I would think.
Old school. Mm-hmm. Kid Midnight.
Oh, no.
I would say old school.
Yeah, a lot of kids.
Two D's, Mike. Next one. Who's your new assistant program director at KDHT? Picasso Stevens.
That would be new school, I would think.
So, new.
Even though Picasso, you know, old.
Is that Ken's son?
The program director of KDHT goes simply by Chase.
New school.
Absolutely.
The night jock who slides up to handle afternoons is Deuce.
Another new school.
And the guy who did overnights who now moves up to do nights is D-Train.
So they all have the little names, the little time. But you had the kid. You had the kid. That was old school.
Then you've got
Kid Midnight.
Bobby Ramos. That sounds old school.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Sanders.
That's old school.
That's old school. Mm-hmm. Jamie Dawson. Rich O'Brien.
Yeah.
Old.
Right.
Tommy Big Bear.
that's from Brockett. That's from the radio station in Brockett.
Timeless,
with Ernie Cutface.
And then there's a lady named Montana.
That sounds new school.
I like that.
Porn star.
Yeah, it's porn star new school.
Michael P. Moon.
Michael P. Moon. The Michael P. Moon get together.
Chris Kellogg.
That sounds old school.
Yeah. Well, of course, he's got the Kellogg's crew, which includes.
Are they the Flakes?
The Breakfast Flakes.
Dina and Lopez.
Well, we had a Lopez around here one time.
Then you have Nick at Night.
That's relatively new school.
Damon Oriah Free.
That sounds new to me.
Yeah.
WBHT Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, afternoon jock, Marino.
Marino. That's a new school, I would think.
Then you have the new program director at Top 40 KQID, Alexandria, Louisiana, Squirrel.
Squirrel?
Squirrel. This may be one we might have to call to see
Squirrel
if...
Squirrel could be old school.
Such a guy actually exists.
You know, Squirrel could be...
Yes, it could.
Old school.
Let's call him and find out.
I think there was a period of time in radio where it was very popular to name disc jockeys after animals.
All right, but Mike, this guy is not a disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
He's a program director.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Squirrel replaces Trent Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue.
All right.
Down to the second part of the page. We have Marco in the Morning.
Well, that's That could be old school.
Yeah. Shannon in the morning.
That's very old school, baby.
How about Super Fat Mikey? And Super Fat is spelled P-H-A-T.
That's new school.
Then you have Steve McCoy. Old school.
Right. Yeah, but does he? It would be old school, especially if he uses the real in there.
W-J-H-M Orlando. Night disc jockey, Kay Dunaway.
Kay Dunaway could be old school.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a take on Faye Dunaway, though.
Well, it'd be terrific if it was a guy.
Let me see. At Power 107.
Kay Dunaway with you.
Power 107 San Antonio, UB Rodriguez. Also, Ms. Karina.
Ooh, I bet she's got wonderful cleavage.
Kid, three Ds, K-I-D-D-D.
Oh, a 3D kid.
Three.
Kid and Ruben in the morning.
I always like it when it's Kid. Kid Creole, Kid Craddock.
Then you've got Big Boy.
That's got to be a fat guy.
Not to be confused with the original Big Boy from Los Angeles.
Big Boy could be a big boy, and then there should be Fat, P-H-A-T,
then
somewhere.
Then you have, at the end of the page, from Hot 104 in Modesto, California.
Modesto, that's very close to our affiliate.
As Jay Boogie leaves, he's replaced by Izzy Real. I-Z-Z-Y.
Hey, I like that
one. R-E-A-L.
Izzy Real? He's just so good, I can't tell.
That's fun.
Who did Izzy Real replace again?
Izzy Real replaced Jay Boogie.
Jay Boogie.
I know you're listening to hear Jay Boogie.
Jay Boogie's 80 years old right now.
My name is Izzy Real.
Izzy Real? Izzy Real in for Jay Boogie on the Saturday night. Jay Boogie had to go to the old age home. But if you'd like to hear Jay Boogie, he'll be still doing some record hops. Jay Boogie.
Momentum for the skin slowly fades away. We know he loves his cars, he loves the fast
Here's
track.
A little tribute to Joe Gibbs. Jay Boogie. Jay Boogie back. Get together.
As Redskins fans,
I'm sorry, Jay, you've been taken off the air.
By Izzy Real.
This is Izzy Real.
Joe Gibbs.
Stand by for Kid and Ruben. Kid with three D's.
Welcome back to DC.
Don't forget, Chris and the Kellogg Flakes, the Kellogg crew. Oh, hold on. Forgot, Mike.
Kay Dunaway be down at the opening of Victoria's Secret this weekend.
Also, WMAS FM, Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. That's near my hometown.
Morning man, Paul Boom Cannon.
That's a big man.
Not to be confused with the famous Paul Boom Boom Cannon.
Two boom.
Paul Boom Cannon. If Paul Boom Cannon is not fat, I'm disappointed.
Uh-huh.
I think he must be.
Hi, it's the Paul Boom Cannon show.
I love this. I love the evolution of radio as radio continues to try to be hip and cool. We can't help it. With the fake names, we can't help it.
You know, I like the new school development that I do enjoy are the single names. That's what I really love saying. Hi, it's Snake with you.
Uh-huh. I hate
Snake
that
at 15
crap.
Minutes after the hour.
I hate that garbage. Give me a good first name, second name, two or three syllables, something fill out a jingle.
Hi, I'm James Boom Boom Cannon. Stay tuned for Zit. Zit's coming in here. Zit's coming in at 8 o'clock.
Perhaps you could take a single name. But we'd have to find the proper thing for you.
We should all have single names. We should all have single names.
But not our current names.
Right? No. They should. Totally we should all have single names. I got yours, and I got Buzz's, and I got mine.
Wow.
All right, go ahead. Lay it on.
Yours would be Shoot.
Shoot.
Uh-huh, I get
Shoot.
It.
See? You get that right away. Right?
Yeah.
Right. You got to think about it a little
Peter
bit.
North, yeah. Thank you.
You would be Shoot.
Thank you.
All right. And you'd be Weed.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that works.
And I would be Liver.
That's good.
All right. And you?
Anchor.
Hold on. Hitler.
Hitler.
How about
Dolph?
Rob? No, hold on. Two names for him. He's got to be Robert Hitler.
Now, how about Kid Hitler?
Kid Hitler.
There it is.
Kid Hitler.
How you doing?
Fantastic.
Good morning, everybody. Well, Breakfast Flake Show. We're all here this morning. Hi, I'm Shoot.
And I'm Liver.
I'm Weed.
I'm Kid Hitler.
I want you to stay tuned for the Breakfast Flake coming up. I'm Shoot.
I'm Liver.
And I'm Weed.
With Kid Hitler.
The wind is a lock in my direction.
Yeah, there you do that. We just went new school. We just went new school. Yippee-yay-yo-kaya. Ain't that right, Shoot?
Oh, that's right.
Liver.
Liver. Let's go to Weed with the news. Wasn't there a guy name Steve Weed. He may actually still be in radio. Real name,
right?
Steve Weed.
Sounds right.
The best, really, in my opinion, is that station. Was it in Frederick, Maryland, which had all the grizzly names?
Davy Crockett, Grizzly Adams, Chemo Sabi Joe.
And wasn't there one down in the ocean that had reptilian
frogs
names?
Frogs and things.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Amphibian.
Amphibian.
Jimmy Hoppa.
Yeah.
There was a frog station in Richmond, too, and the morning guy was named Webb Foot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
Lily
Pad.
I still remember our old program director here that came on the air with the nickname Bob EQ. Bobby Q.
Good morning, everybody. Nick Sanders and Bobby Ramos will not be here today. Our program director, Squirrel, talked to us earlier. I'm Shoot.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Liver.
I'm Weed.
26 degrees, and I'm Kid Hitler.
And this is the station everyone can agree on, even the boss.
I like rape.
Good morning.
Well, I'm on my way to the city life.
That's the way that if we did have those names, we'd have the kind of show where everyone had to say their name every break.
Yeah.
And everyone did. Uh-huh. I mean, all four of us would have to say that.
Yeah.
Ain't that right, KH?
That's right.
And, of course, we'd shorten it. S.
Right, Big L. I meant enlarged L.
L.
I'm enlarged liver. Mama liver.
Soft rock. On a Monday afternoon, how are you anyway? I'm Shoot.
Morning, everyone. I'm Liver.
I'm Weed.
How do from Kid Hitler.
I forgot I said good afternoon. Of course, I mean good morning.
I like rape.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold.
Now, that's what they'd be playing, too. 24 hours of afternoon delight.
Oh, God. DJ names are great.
I love them.
Let's do a little research, please, Rob.
And yes.
Get a phone number for that station with the guy whose name's Squirrel.
Uh-huh. You bet.
We'll try there and talk
Squirrel.
About all other things when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the matter?
Something's the matter with the radio.
It's going crazy with the heat.
You're crazy with your inventions. What's the name of this thing?
Don't chop the wood, mother. Father's coming home with a load.
Remind me to chop his head off.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show. Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Even better than a stroke and a poke. The Don and Mike Show.
So the weekend, friends.
Yes, friends.
I was quite the busy bee. I'm very proud of myself. I'm a non-productive member of society, generally speaking. But this weekend, I got my ass together. I cleaned. I moved. I organized. I took carloads of stuff to Goodwill.
Mm-hmm. You took your energy pills this weekend.
The problem is, I failed one of the teachings of Buzz.
What's that?
Now, Buzz, I'm sorry if there are women listening now. God knows we try to drive them away.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are, Buzz explained to me a long time ago that, well, here's how he put it. It was part of his whole men are logical speech.
Right.
Yes.
About how.
I love that speech.
About how we, men, think about tasks and things differently than women.
Much. That's one of the reasons why we will always be more successful at a four-way intersection. I'm sorry, I hate to say it, and call
somebody,
me sexist, but it's true.
Had to,
we right. immediately know the person to the right has the right of way.
Uh-huh.
It's an easy thing to figure out. Check, check, check all the time. Check, check, check. That's what he's doing. So Buzz says to me, here's the deal. If you got something you want to do, first off, you don't really want to do work around the house.
No,
but
nobody does.
But if you're forced into it, and you know that there's a job you can do, and if you apply yourself
to the task at hand,
and really you just say, I'm going to get this MF-er done. Mm-hmm. Let's say you could get this huge job done that seems to be impossible. You could knock it out in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What if?
He said to me a long time ago, the biggest mistake you can do is actually doing it in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hide the fact from your girlfriend, your wife, that it only took you 2 hours.
Simply put, you have to make believe that the task is far more intense and tedious than it really is.
Always make the accomplishment seem greater than it really was.
Right.
Correct. Now, I did do, by anybody's standards, but especially by my lazy-ass standards, just a ton of work. Mm-hmm. Real stuff that I normally don't do.
Right.
Moving boxes, getting rid of old stuff, donating to the less fortunate.
I know that kills you. I'm so glad you did it.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just leave it on the side of the road for bums.
Well, yeah, and just let them pick over it, you know? Really, actually, technically, who could steal it first.
Right. Survival of the fittest.
That's what you'd like.
That's right. Thinning of the herd.
So Jan's out, and she's running errands all day on Saturday, mm-hmm. and I'm doing my thing, right. And every time she calls to check in, I maintained to her, still working, mm-hmm. still getting the job done, mm-hmm. and it got to be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. Mm-hmm. She called to check in. She was at a mall with her sister, which means an all day experience.
Outing, yeah.
She says, "How you doing on the cleaning?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I'm just getting started upstairs in the bedroom.
Keep expectations low."
Truth be told, mm-hmm. the upstairs was finished.
Done. Right. You'd already thrown away all the costumes.
You learned well.
Yeah.
You learned well.
The costumes and the uniforms.
We're like anybody else, and me especially being a widower. I mean, you're talking about not necessarily stuff from Frida, but just stuff that just accumulated stuff that you finally say at some point, I'm not going to wear this, and you know, I'm going to donate this.
And see all the TV shows nowadays that are about organization that say, just throw away. Uh-huh. Just really, really throw
Get
away.
Get rid of it.
And it's one of those things that Janet always says to me, when you have a moment on the weekend, you should really do this. And I always say, yes, and I never mean yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday she left, and I thought, oh, I remember what my friend Buzz said. I'm going to knock this out, and then I'm going to make it. So every time she called.
You're going to milk it.
Every time she called, I was under great duress.
Yes. You know, good.
Really?
Good.
I'd be sitting there watching the football game, whatever right. game was on, and I think
in your underwear.
I'd pick up the underwear. I'd wait two or three rings. Uh-huh. I'd pick up. Hello.
Would you answer the phone out of breath? Would you feign just to be slightly winded?
Only because I would be out of breath from leaning over to get a telephone.
But that's legit, and you can go with that.
Because I was laying down because I had I had worked.
You'd had to get up
all day, right?
Right.
So she'd go, "Hi, how you doing?" In the middle of the bedroom. It can't get into this. Can't discuss it.
What a pain.
Okay. Saturday evening. I don't know why this came over me. I thought, you know what? She still isn't back from the mall with her sister. They've now decided to turn this into some type of outing where they're going to go to dinner as well. Mm-hmm. There's another project that she's been not on my ass about, but one of those things where by my desk at home, I just have, again, boxes and files and papers right. and just things that have been accumulating through the job and through and all the paperwork with Frida and everything. It had been literally in my office, just piled up.
Mm-hmm.
I went through like a buzzsaw. I went through that. I got the shredder out. I got all the stuff done.
Shredding's fun. Shredding is a male task.
Yeah, I got.
Men enjoy shredding.
I got all of this done, and I'm thinking to myself, it's 9:15 on Saturday night. The regular crowd shuffles in.
It's an old man sitting next to me.
Something with his tonic.
He's making love to it is what he's doing.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I think, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be Mr. Johnny on the spot. I'm going to take these three bags of garbage, and what I'm going to do is go to some place that has someplace close that has those big gigantic dumpsters.
Well, I'm sure that you know you could be like a movie star if you get out of your place.
What do you mean?
I'm just still doing the piano, man.
Oh.
When she called at any time, did you say you believed it was killing you? As the smile ran away from your face.
I said, I love her just the way she is. Oh. She is my uptown girl.
Did the neighbor of Virginia cross the street, did you tell her to come out?
No, she only came out when she saw the flames. And I said, we didn't start the fire.
That's right.
Well, she's Catholic. You know, they're always so late.
Well, it's a matter of trust, Mike.
I understand.
That's a song title, too.
I know. Did she go north or south for the shopping trip? Did she go up to Allentown?
I don't know. Because
they have
like
some factories that are closing down up there that are causing a nice sale.
It was like scenes from an Italian restaurant. Billy Joel.
The Billy Joel collection.
Finally, I just said, hey, it's my life.
He became an angry young man.
Yeah, really, go ahead. Do your own thing. Leave me alone.
You got to be a big shot.
You got to be a big shot, didn't you?
So Saturday evening, I make the final run with the garbage to the place. And why is it that you feel like a prowler? Because you go to these places and they have the dumpsters and they say, not for public use.
Right.
You know, fine $2,000, 1 year.
Is that
in
what
jail.
You did? You went to like just a dumpster somewhere?
Yeah. I went to the Safeway. You know,
if you're ever doing that on a Saturday and I'm home and you have like items that are larger than just trash. Like if you have something like an old chair or something, please come to my house because we could play the game. We could play. You don't need to put it into a dumpster. You can just put it on the street.
You just
literally.
Like,
I've done it before.
Oh yeah,
you can put it on the street at my house, and then we play the game. How long before it's gone?
Mm-hmm.
Record is 3 minutes for one item.
If it's good, it'll go instantly.
And you know what? The record for 3 minutes was a ladder to a child's bunk bed.
I don't think anybody would have wanted those. Like, there's just big hefty bags full of shredded stuff.
Yeah, no, that won't happen.
Probably not.
So anyway, I get home. It takes me like 15 minutes. Get back home. She's not there yet. Shock. I see there's a message. Pick it up. I pick up the phone. She's like, hello, where are you? Where could you possibly be on a Saturday night? Mm-hmm. I'm on my way back from the mall. Where are you? What's going on? So I called her back right away. And I say, hey, you should have tried me on my cell.
Mm-hmm.
I had my cell. I was just out bringing stuff.
Working.
And she said, okay. And she said, okay, in a way that made me get defensive. You know how women are sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what does that okay mean?
Yeah.
She said, nothing. It just seems you've been working an awful lot today. And at that point.
Ah, there's the suspicious line right there.
Right. You've been working an awful lot today. And I said, well, I have. And I think you'd be very happy when you get home to see all the stuff that I did. Mm-hmm. And somehow, Buzz, I don't know what happened to your teachings, Grasshopper. But well, I'm the Grasshopper. You're the Kung Fu guy. Somehow, in the middle of this conversation, I said to her, well, really, it was really the third job that I was doing because I'm just so goddamn efficient. I really got everything else done today by 2 o'clock.
Oh, see, there's where
and
you
it was right
on.
Away. I was like,
uh-oh. Warning.
No.
Then she technically catches you in the lie.
Never confess.
Yeah. So she said, what exactly did you get done? And I said, I got everything done that I told you.
Results.
All that stuff, all those boxes, all that clothes, everything to Goodwill.
Gone.
Everything. Done.
And the entire kitchen has been retiled.
Done. And and she said, what about the office? I said, done. Done. Everything is done.
Mm-hmm.
She said, and you did all of this at what? I said, really? Probably. Less than
she
three
said,
hours.
What about the office? She said, I'm watching it on TiVo.
Less than 3 hours. She was not mad.
Good.
She was not mad at me.
Good.
She simply said, when she arrived from her 15-hour trip to the mall, she said, why can't you always work at that level?
Okay. Yeah, you raised expectations too much.
And I thought of my friend Buzz. Mm-hmm.
Tragic mistake that you've made here.
And Buzz told me this, my goodness, Mike, seriously. 25 years ago, he said to me, whatever the task is, always make them think that it's more.
Yes.
Always make them think that you're doing more because in reality, whatever the job is, you can do it efficiently. You can do it under budget. You can do it under time.
And it helps to have like a series of fake casts and gauze bandages.
If you need them,
so that you create the illusion that something has happened to you, that you've injured yourself on the
job. It's all about accomplishments that give the illusion of filling that time she was gone. And so what you do, the minute she walks out the door, you do the first 3 to 5 things you can think of that you can bang out in 5 minutes.
And even if a job is to, say, take you 4 hours, you always double it.
Hold on, let him finish because he's really giving you his real from the mountaintop speech.
Yeah, you just do all these 3 to 5 things that you can think of. You know you can bang them out quickly. You get those done and off the plate. It's all about how many things I accomplished while you were gone, dear.
Right.
You see.
Exactly.
And so that's what you want to build it up, but you don't want to do it so much that she wonders why you don't do this all the time.
So if you hear her like pulling into the driveway and you've finished all your tasks, but you get up off the couch and like you put on the work clothes again.
Turn on
and
the vacuum cleaner. Yeah.
I'm just finishing up.
That's it exactly.
I'm just wrapping up here, honey.
You're wiping the sweat from your brow as she walks in the door. That's how you time it out.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And I realized I had made the tactical mistake, like I said.
How did the suspicious minds thing work out for you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was fine.
Was that okay?
Good. Yeah, that was fine. You know.
You don't want to get caught in that trap.
You're liable to get a burning love.
Oh, you're her teddy bear. I wouldn't worry about it.
I wish you would just love me tender.
Well, otherwise, you know, you'll have some big blow up and, you know, somebody will end up in the jailhouse.
You would just wear my ring around your neck, Mike. Hey, not long, and Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hey, viva Las Vegas.
That's right. You're going there for Thanksgiving. That's the wonder of you, Mike.
Yes, yes. Oh, now my secret's out. No, I'm really going. You know, I should make up that, you know, for women in my family, I should say that I'm going to visit family somewhere. That's what I should do for all the people. When I say, as opposed to saying I'm going to Las Vegas, which everybody knows,
are we still
Las Vegas is pure sin.
Are we still playing the Elvis game?
No, because you let my secret out of the bag.
Wait, no, you're the one that started it.
I know.
Because you're moody blue.
I know. I'm out of Elvis songs now.
Well, you started it.
I know. You're king of the Elvis songs.
Thank you.
It is a little different way of we're doing the name game.
It
king
is.
King of the Elvi.
Elvi.
Yeah, so Mike is going to Thanksgiving in Las Vegas. Four glorious days this year.
Literally leaving Thanksgiving night, taking the red eye back on Sunday night.
Nice.
So you're going to have an interesting Monday after Thanksgiving with me.
We look forward to that.
You can call me. Well, my DJ name will be Burned.
You might want to travel Wednesday night because that'll, you know, it's usually a light travel night. And it'll give you a chance to win more money with an extra night there.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to play. I might actually leave earlier on Sunday. That scares me, that red eye flight.
Yeah.
I don't like that idea of being cutting it that close. I mean, the flight gets in at like 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm.
I would like to take a moment out before I forget it's got nothing to do with this. Sorry, Mike, but it's Baskin Robbins, good ice cream place.
Yeah.
Everybody likes Baskin Robbins.
They have a lot of flavors there, I understand.
At least 31, Mike.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then the clock, right. The crazy clock always says 31 o'clock.
I remember I went to the first one in New York City, the very first Baskin Robbins that opened up in New York City. I'll never forget it. It's a childhood memory. You know what my father ordered?
What?
Chocolate. And I ordered strawberry. And they had 31 flavors. It's a hot day. I swear to God, it's weird the stuff you remember. I remember my old man eating a chocolate ice cream cone that we got from the first Baskin Robbins, and it was running down his elbow, and he had a white shirt. Hot and it day. Was dangerously getting close to his rolled-up white shirt. I have no idea why that popped into my head. Why did you bring up Baskin Robbins?
Because we were in Baskin Robbins.
Ah, very good.
And I wanted to say that a lot of times when I go into these places, I have a problem with the people behind the counter. Yeah. There was a lady behind the counter who was just fantastic. We went in simply to get a little one scoop thing, you know, one scoop of ice cream. Mm-hmm. It's all we wanted. The lady that in front of us,
where's the fun in that?
The lady that was in front of us wanted Jimmy's on her ice cream sundae.
Okay, chocolate shots, right?
Now, what's great about this is that the lady working behind the sneeze guard, like they have at Sizzler by
we
the
couldn't
salad
have covered
bar,
it. We couldn't have covered it by Don saying Jimmy's and I said chocolate shots. He has to yell from the back, Sprinkles.
Also known as.
He has to give his name for it in the back. Did you notice that?
Robbie Sprinkles.
Robbie Sprinkles.
Wasn't that his Las Vegas name for a while?
Robbie Sprinkles.
Bobby Sparkle.
Bobby Sparkle. Bobby Sparkle.
So she was efficient then.
No, what I love was the woman in front of us who was taking up way too much time
right.
ordering how she should have this ice cream made exactly for her said, more Jimmy's. And the lady said, I've given you as much as I can. At that point, the lady ordering the ice cream, because the condiments are right up there on the shelf, she reaches in with her hand.
Oh. Into the Jimmy's?
Into the Jimmy's.
Ooh.
And at this point, wonderful. How wonderful is this? The lady at Baskin Robbins says, no more Jimmy's. No more Jimmy's.
They've been contaminated.
And she said, now the lady that was getting the ice cream said, what's wrong? I just reached in to get a few more. And the lady from Baskin Robbins said real loud with everybody looking at her,
good.
Ma'am, the problem is this. We don't know where your hands have been.
That's right.
Of course
good
they know.
For her.
Yeah, bravo.
It's about time.
Bravo. Boy, that lady really must have had a chocolate Jimmy Jones.
She was one of those broads, like an uptight soccer mom, and she wasn't being a bitch.
Was she getting it for herself or somebody else?
I mean, looking at her, if it was for her, she was going to go eat it and throw it up.
Right.
So probably for a kid.
For a kid who really
like a soccer thing.
Thrown a fit.
Anyway, she wasn't being overtly bitchly. Mm-hmm. It's just she wanted more Jimmies. And then when she saw she couldn't get them and the lady started to move to us.
It wasn't like the scene in Sideways with the wine, was it?
Oh, no.
No.
No, but she leaned over the counter just a little bit and just took some out. And God bless the Baskin-Robbins lady who took them away and said real loud to everybody else in line, no more Jimmies. We're out of Jimmies. And then the lady was truly offended, like I said.
Right.
But I just wanted a couple. It's so loud. You know. We don't know where your hands have been. Uh-huh.
You know what a delightful new trend in
thank you, Baskin Robbins.
Wow. In restaurants that I see, at least I'm seeing them sprouting up all over the place, is that the Baskin Robbins 31 flavors is opening up right next to the Dunkin' Donuts everywhere.
Yeah, same company.
You can get your ice cream and donuts right next to each other. Isn't that fantastic? Get a nice big triple scoop cone and then a dozen glazed at the same time.
You know what else is pairing up?
What's that?
Carvel and Cinnabon.
What could go wrong?
Really?
Yeah,
really? Where's Carvel been? I haven't seen Carvel for a million years.
You wait.
Really?
Yes, sir.
You're participating in Carvel Ice Cream Store? Yeah.
Beyond your turnpikes, is Cinnabon even a player, Robbie?
Beyond the mall.
The mall.
Big in mall.
You got your
huge.
Cinnabons in malls.
But isn't Cinnabon's number one calling, though, like on turnpikes and stuff?
No, number one would be the mall, your shopping mall. And that's where you see it.
Airports would be number two, I would
right.
think now.
Your Cinnabons are big in the mall.
Right.
Your Cinnabons and your Auntie Annie's.
Mm-hmm.
Your Auntie Annie's pretzels.
Auntie Annie's highly overrated on that list.
Agreed.
I think. If they've got as many stores as you're saying.
Auntie Annie's may be highly overrated, but I mean, as far as pretzels go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I like me occasionally to have the little cinnamon pretzel. I kind of like them, and I've had them at other places, and they just don't quite measure up.
Hmm.
I like me that. But the Cinnabon, I'm amazed. I mean, the Cinnabon is like... all over. Every shopping mall you mm-hmm. see a Cinnabon store. But I had no idea that you know they weren't getting enough fat out to the American public that they had to move into a partnership with the Carvel ice cream family.
I guess I don't get to enough malls. I've seen Cinnabons at some malls, but I know
I always hang out in the malls with my friends.
But I know that when you're on the New Jersey Turnpike,
mm-hmm.
When you're on 95, Mike, going to Atlantic City,
right?
You get that west rest stop spot,
yeah.
where your choices are either mm-hmm. Sbarro's,
right,
Arthur Treacher's,
yes,
or Cinnabon.
I know, very frustrating.
And Cinnabon kills in that situation
sure.
because
they're the captive audience, especially
right.
prior to 10 o'clock in the morning
right.
when you want a big, gooey, sticky muffin, you know, to put your hands on the steering wheel after you eat it.
Hi there, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Donna Mike.
Hi.
I just want to chime in on one little thing. Why didn't the ice cream parlor charge that woman the $24 for the Jimmies they had to throw out?
That would be a real bitchly move on the part of the lady behind the counter.
I wondered about that. You break it, you buy it. Same thing.
It wasn't a huge jar. It was just a little like coffee table size.
Well, and also technically, I mean,
it wasn't even a jar. It was one of those plastic big cups that they have.
Yeah, and they could have gotten away with it. I mean, because they are brown.
Hello, Don, my show.
If there's any real problem with
hello.
What's up, guys? Out here we have Baskin Robbins paired up with Togo's, which is a sandwich shop. Do you guys have Togo's on the East Coast?
Togo's.
Is that Togo's or Togo's?
It's spelled Togo's, but it's Togo's. And you walk in and you get chocolate, strawberry mixed with peppers and salami. It's just a disgusting
bad food combination. Gross.
Strawberry and salami. Wonderful.
What's awful about that?
Yeah, salami and ice cream. Mm.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Along with that salami and ice cream, you're also welcome to a nice laser-guided bomb, since Carlisle Group owns both those companies. They also make bombs for our lovely military.
You mean the company that owns Baskin-Robbins and Dunkin' Donuts also owns, ordnance manufacturing?
That is correct. George Bush Sr. is on the board of directors for Carlisle Group.
Shouldn't you be on the phone to Stephen Colbert and then have that somehow trickle his way down the food chain to Buzz?
Yeah, how else is he going to win South Carolina?
Give me a break.
Hello.
Have Stephen call me.
Donna Mike. Hi. Hello.
How's it going, fellas?
Hey, my friend.
Good. I got a question.
Hey, we didn't ask how you were doing. You said good. We didn't ask how you're doing. I'll tell you our names, though. I'm Shoot.
And I'm Liver.
And I'm Weed.
I'm Ken Hitler.
How you doing?
How you doing anyway? And, of course, Joe the Monkey Boy.
That's right. What crazy thing will he do next?
Monk.
Monk. Uh-huh. Joe Monk. Hey, what's up?
I got a question for Mike.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm a fellow Yankee from Connecticut.
Yes.
And I'm now living in Maryland.
Yeah.
And is it your, I guess, remembrance of Dunkin' Donuts back home up north? It's the place for very weird old people who have really bad smoking habits.
Donuts are just huge in New England. I mean, I guess donuts are big everywhere, but I just remember donuts being it in New England when we were. But we had the best because it was called Bess Eaton, and it was Bessetaton. It was Bess Eaton Donuts, and man, they you know, Dunkin' Donuts came in like the hammer and just put them out of business. But Bess Eaton Donuts were the best donuts. And then, of course, up in New England, I don't know if they have them around here. Are the Honeydew chain? Have you seen the Honeydew chain of donut shops?
Never have.
You get those north of the border too. I mean, it's you know, Bess Eaton. It was you know, when we were in high school. I should point out when the drinking age was legally 18 in my state.
Yes.
That was the hangout, and we had the guy that owned the local clothing store. I think it was Nick DeGemis, who owned DeGemis Clothes. And he sold all the clothes, all the tuxedos, everything in my town, one guy. And he would always come in.
Degenerate.
And he was a big, big fat guy. Mm-hmm. And he would come in, and in the wee hours at Bess Eaton Donuts, he would always sit down, and he would eat his donuts with an entire half gallon of Tropicana orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and he'd drink it at the counter.
Looking out for his health.
It was fantastic. I don't know why I'm getting all these childhood memories. I guess I'm
feeling a little nostalgic today. I don't know why that is.
Are you feeling wispy, Michael?
I'm just a little wispy boy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, how about KFC and A&W?
Are they partnered up too?
Yeah. You can get a bucket of chicken and a root beer.
Yum. Maybe we should think of our own combinations.
Well, you see
they're all corporate combinations.
You see KFC with Taco Bell a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
that's
and,
the usual one because they're both owned by Yum Foods.
Right.
You know, I've discovered a new fast food chain, though, that you guys probably haven't even heard of.
What's that?
In fact, it's a guarantee where you live you haven't heard of it.
What is it?
I've been there twice now, and it's becoming a regular. I ate there Friday night. Guapo's.
Guapo's.
Have you been by a Guapo's?
Spell it.
Oh, I thought you said Guapo's.
No.
Was it an Italian
Guapo's.
Joint?
Guapo's.
Guapo's.
Mm. Guapo's. I go to Guapo's now. I seriously go to Guapo's for the chicken.
What do they serve?
Chicken.
Yeah. They serve chicken. They serve some.
It tastes like chicken.
It's they serve chicken, and they had a thing called fried yucca, which is what the French fries are fried yucca.
It's like it's a starchy vegetable.
It's a starchy vegetable. That's exactly what it is.
Yucca indeed.
Couldn't recommend it highly enough. Guapo's.
Do they shout your name when you go in?
Mr. O'Meara!
Hello, Don and Mike.
Welcome again to Guapo!
I love this jockey!
Hello.
He's here.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Mike, when you come out, you're going to have to try out the to Vegas. You're going to have to try out the Dunkin' Donuts just opened up out here.
Oh, that's the first place I go. Whenever I get off the plane in Vegas,
a
you know.
Town.
Really, why go to some of the fantastic free buffets
that's
when you
exciting.
Can get yourself to a Dunkin' Donuts in Las Vegas?
Okay, here's some commercials, and when we come back, I believe we're going to try to find the man who's only known as Squirrel.
Let's find Squirrel.
Program Director Squirrel, everybody.
Hope he's not blind.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know if you caught the Giants game yesterday against the Dolphins in London. They had one of those famous guys jump on the field, take off his clothes, run around naked. Fox did not show it.
Starica!
Here's how they handled it.
He says the field is definitely a problem. You know, it's slowing his defensive linemen down. They're taking off. A guy running out on the field. Slowing the defensive linemen down, especially on their pass rush. Oshie Umenyiora on the corner. We saw him slip out. So he's very concerned about that. He wants to run the ball a lot more and really don't give it to Eli because of the ball.
Listen to the crowd.
Man, this guy's running all over the field. Sorry about that. But he definitely wants to run the ball.
They're not showing it.
Of course. Field conditions. Well, fans are running out of the stadium down here, guys.
Well, we are not going to show this fan.
I think I remember him from the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Unbelievable.
Tony, you had a lot of tickets for the game today.
Tony, how'd you let that guy get by?
This guy,
this is that crowd.
How'd you let that guy get by you, Tony?
He went right by me. I could have tackled him.
Now they're tackling him right now.
Official's uniform on, but
That guy's crazy.
Hey, good observation.
Okay. The Don and Mike Show.
I mean, come on. You're Fox.
Yeah.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what? I had a dream last night about the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Gracias.
All right, we're back. This is the Don and Mike Show. Maybe you heard that a moment ago. The man's name is Squirrel.
Squail.
He's the program director of Q93.
Woo!
In Louisiana. Was reading through the DJ magazine, and I don't know how anyone could possibly have a job in radio, a job like program director, which does not command much respect to begin with.
Right.
Okay? Because generally speaking, without fail, guys that are program directors are guys that could not make it on the air. So there's that immediate
handicap or
between the two. You've got space between the two because you've got disc jockey, who knows, program director, really wanted to be a disc jockey, couldn't do it. So you don't take him very seriously to begin with. Because, you know, he's every time he critiques your air check, every time he hotlines you, every time he yells at you, he's just getting it out. I wish I could be you.
I want to be you.
So.
And I want to be loved by you.
It's hard enough to respect a program director. Let me toss out some of the names Mike and I have had. Greg Gillespie. Mark St. John. Jeremy Coleman.
Smokey Rivers.
Yeah.
Matt Farber.
The guy that rubbed his feet all the time.
Chuck Beck.
We didn't respect any of them, but I guarantee we respected all
except
of them.
Except for Surf.
Yes.
That was a puppet government, though, Mike.
Well, he was technically, he had the position.
And remember, he was at one time PD of the week.
Right.
So he was a decorated program.
He was
director.
Indeed.
Okay, but just roll. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
I'm talking today now. I don't see how you could go into a radio station, sit down with some disc jockey, and say, okay, listen, you know, Kobe Marino, the afternoon guy. Hi, Kobe Marino. Hi, my name is Squirrel. I'm going to be the one that's going to tell you the way it is around here.
I'm your boss. Hey, Kobe, Squirrel wants to see you in his office.
Yeah.
Squirrel wants you to come to the tree.
Let's call the guy, okay?
What is he, nuts?
He's in charge of them.
And I still like the idea of him being blind. Hey, look what I found.
Thank you for calling Senlaw Broadcast.
Wow.
If you know the extension of the party you're calling,
I don't.
You may enter it at any time.
Squirrel.
To reach the Ticketmaster office during business hours, press 1.
Hours.
For sales, press 2. For business and administration, press 3.
Like you.
For programming, press 4.
Ah.
For pro For Q93 Program Director Squirrel or John Worley, press 214.
Yeah,
for
baby.
Please hold.
What if the phone picks up and you
hear... Well, he's already kind of fixed it because it's Squirrel known as John.
Oh, I thought it was two guys.
Squirrel.
Hey, hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show, and we're on the air right now. Is that okay with you, Squirrel?
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Okay, great.
Hi, Squirrel.
What's cracking, bro?
Hi there. Squirrel, you are the program director of Q104, Alexandria, Louisiana. Just wondering what it's like being the squirrel.
Man, you know, it's tough, dude, because every day I'm always trying to grab, you know, get my nut. And sometimes they just ain't out there all the time.
Squirrel, how did you get your name?
9th grade woodshop teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did the woodshop teacher name you Squirrel?
I don't know why, actually.
Do you have a bunch of disc jockeys under your command right now, Squirrel?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that any of them possibly, and I'm only speaking to you as a 35-year veteran of radio, do you think that, and I want to say right away, I'm blown away. I can tell your knowledge of radio
right.
is immense. I'm talking to a pro right now.
Well, I mean, there you go, man.
Like looking in the mirror.
How long have you been doing it, Squirrel?
Since about 91.
91, yeah. All right.
With the 4-year break in between.
Served the country?
Sure did.
Thank you for that.
I must ask, though, when you're in a meeting with your disc jockeys, your morning guys,
right.
whatever it is, Do they call you Squirrel, or do they call you by your real name?
Sir Squirrel.
Sir Squirrel? Sir Squirrel. Hey, did they give you that name? Do you have big cheeks?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm just getting back to the whole Squirrel thing, because of all the names that we were looking at in this article, Squirrel seemed the most fantastic.
See, we were looking at that page in Radio and Records that has all the people that have moved. Did you see your name in there this week?
No, I didn't. Where's that? I got to check it out. I'd love to see that.
What page is that?
Right. What page is it on? Hold on, we're getting it right now. It's in the R&R. You know that publication.
On
right?
Page 11.
All right, page 11.
It says, a man who calls himself Squirrel is already in the building as the new PD at Top 40 KQID Alexandria, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Squirrel was last seen at WKMX Dothan, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dothan, right?
Dothan?
Yeah. Dothan.
Dothan, Alabama, yeah, that's about an hour.
Do you think that it's going to stop your rise in the programming side of radio by using a name like Squirrel?
Probably.
Well, what if you had a story to go along with it, though? I mean, the woodshop teacher is okay, but have you thought about maybe making up kind of an elaborate story about how you got the name Squirrel?
Oh, I see where you're going with this, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we're going in the direction where it would be a nice way to put it in, like, a bio. I would start with the fact that maybe when you were younger, you had a tail.
Good one. Had a tail, right?
But here's my thought. Uh-huh. As you're climbing up the ladder and you want to get a programming gig in a larger market, you know, you're going to call up, for instance, like one of the people at CBS, Dan Mason, hello. They go, yes, who's on the phone? This is Squirrel.
He might not take the call.
He might not.
We're concerned about that.
What is the greatest achievement that you've made to Q93 since you've been there, Squirrel?
Let's see. I think I got cans of Coke rather than bottles put in downstairs so I can get me a can of beer.
That's thinking in the right direction.
Dude, I had to get on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take payola down there in Louisiana, Squirrel?
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
Is there payola available down there, Squirrel?
None at all. Not that I can find so far.
Are you a dick program director, or would your jock say that you're okay, a player's coach, as it were?
My player's coach, most definitely.
Hey, Squirrel.
Yeah.
Have you thought about the fact that maybe you could say that you chew constantly to combat never-ending tooth growth? Like the squirrels would? I just think there's tremendous... This is the best name on the page, and we just think you could make it work for you.
Dude, it rocks. That's why I ran with it. I mean, no matter where you go, you've got squirrel T-shirts in Walmart, squirrel things on.
Listen to some of these other names.
None of these names compare, in my opinion.
None of them do.
Kid and Ruben, Jay Boogie, UB right. Rodriguez.
It was accidental genius, I'm telling you.
Picasso Stevens.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
You're nuts. We get it. We get it. It's squirrel. It's nuts.
So what is
your complexion gray?
Do what?
Do you have like a gray complexion? Because
no,
that would fit in with the squirrel thing, you know?
No, not yet, man. Not yet.
All right.
Yeah. What are your hopes and aspirations? Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Squirrel?
5 years. Who knows, man? Just somewhere doing a gig, having a good time where I'm at.
Well, Squirrel, this is a nationally syndicated, somewhat nationally syndicated show.
I know, I see you guys all the time.
And this would be an opportunity maybe to send out your Squirrel resume on the on our beautiful airwaves.
Here's another question from one big timer to another. Have you worked in any small markets?
Yeah, like the one I'm in now. Right.
Oh, we're just having fun and you're being a good sport.
Man, Squirrel.
I tell you, I dig it.
All right, dude. Well,
do you have a ponytail?
No ponytail, no. I did have one, but
yes.
I did lose in the early 90s.
All right. Do you chew tobacco?
No chewing tobacco.
When is it that you decided that you couldn't make it on this side of the microphone and you wanted to go to that side?
I'm still on both sides.
Oh, you're doing it? You're one of the program directors that does a DJ shift?
Yeah, man.
What's your shift, man?
Morning drive, bro.
Oh, morning, bro.
Hardworking man, bro.
Are you a squirrel in the morning?
Yep.
Squirrel in the morning.
Squirrel in the morning.
And how many packs a day, Squirrel?
One.
One pack a day?
Yeah.
Down to one pack a day?
I know. I owe Marvel a lot for my voice.
All right. Well, Squirrel, go check out page 11 of Radio and Records. Your name is in there.
Yeah. And we liked your name the best.
Well, I appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you guys.
All right, dude. Nice talking to you.
You got it.
Bye, Squirrel.
Bye-bye.
Boy, that's a lot of bitterness there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bitterness in Squirrel.
There's other good disc jockeys on his station, too. I went to the website, and they have Ashley, and they have Fuzzy, and they have Rick Dees.
They have Rick Dees. They have Fuzzy?
Yeah, they do have Fuzzy. Fuzzy's on the air right now.
Fuzzy?
Fuzzy.
Squirrel in the morning, Fuzzy in the afternoon.
Very cuddly station.
And then overnights is just done by hair.
Squirrel.
hair. How about pube?
And I guarantee.
Pube in the morning.
The guy pulled in, like with, I don't know, you name it, a Nissan Datsun. He's got a U-Haul.
Yes.
He probably lives out of the U-Haul. Right.
He's working. It's. I mean, he does the morning show, and it's 4:45, and he's still there.
Well, of course. He's home.
Yes. He's home. He lives there.
That's right.
He lives in the squirrel house.
The squirrel nest.
Hey, who wants to get squirrely?
Do you think he calls the show the Nut Hut?
There's something about nuts in there.
It has
you
to
know?
Be.
I'm very, very disappointed in the fact that it was given to him by a shop class teacher.
Yeah, with no reason.
That might have been made up, too, though.
But he isn't in the morning. Hello, no. Don and Mike show.
Hey, do you think squirrel is gay?
Why is that making me laugh? It's too simple.
I hadn't thought of it.
He's got a mouthful of nuts.
Oh, there it is.
And he goes both ways.
Bye!
Especially if he's in the middle of the road.
Bye.
He can't make a determination which way he wants to go.
Oh, get out of here, for goodness sakes.
Friends he's
bye.
Lost.
Okay, goodbye. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is everybody happy?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look at him.
What the f***? I'm bald.
You like
that? How do you like that?
He had a beautiful full head of hair, a mane that I love, and now he looks like you.
Look at me. Look at me. What happened? How did that happen?
You
did
it.
You did it. You did it.
What are you talking about?
You
traumatized the doctor. He described you. He said bald glasses, he said some racial slur, and you traumatized the doctor, and he came in all flummoxed and shaved his f***ing head.
There's nothing wrong with being bald.
Oh, sure yes, there is, Larry.
Sure
look at
is.
You.
You said you wouldn't care if you were bald. Yeah, in 40 years,
I not
today. Not overnight.
Well, yours is going to go back. Mine isn't.
That's right. You know what? Curse on you. Mine's going to grow back.
Curse
yours
on
isn't.
You.
You deserve it.
What did you say to that doctor?
All right, here's what happened, okay? Here's what happened. I was in the cafeteria.
Oh, my.
I was having lunch with Dr. Flom, okay?
What, Dr. You know, pretty, Flom.
By the way, can you interpret this note?
Oh, nobody gives a shit about your note.
What are you doing?
The Don and Mike Show.
What are you doing?
Hot as balls. The Don and Mike Show.
Curse on you.
Gracias.
Right.
Buenos dias.
Same to you, friend. That was a good Curb Your Enthusiasm last night.
I haven't looked at it yet. I was drifting away from it a little bit.
As I believe, the writing out of the wife enters the second phase.
Uh-huh. Is she still showing up at all? Or
she showed up in a brief dream montage last night.
Really?
And she was in the previews for next week, so she's not entirely gone.
Ah, see, I never watched the previews for next week.
You think they'll keep her hanging around, or will she be gone forever?
Phasing her out, I'm pretty sure.
I think if it at all mirrors his real life,
right.
He's got to get rid of her. I think it's time to start the rumor again that WJFK Free FM is changing format.
Really?
To light rock?
Same format?
That's not a rumor.
To light rock, because it's happening now in Chicago.
Yes.
Oh,
the station that's all talk in Chicago.
Dropping like flies.
Changing format.
Mm-hmm.
Going Spanish.
Bueno.
El something or other.
Zol.
And...
El Chicago.
They're moving. Guapo. They're moving the guy, Steve Dahl.
Uh-huh.
He's the only guy that survives. So they move him to the station that just plays records with no DJs.
I see.
Oh, really?
Yes. Right. They're moving him to Jack FM.
Jack, baby.
Because that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Still is.
So we have to be very, very conscious of spreading that rumor around.
That we are going to be changing formats.
The station everyone can agree on.
To light rock.
Even... people that speak Spanish.
I've changed my mind.
The new Light 106.7.
So many nights.
Tell you, just saying, this format has fallen. It's falling faster than CBS stock.
You're going to be hearing a lot of that.
And then what is this with a disc jockey in Minneapolis now? KQRS, Minneapolis Classic Rocker, will air a public apology for a morning show bit that aired, connected an American Indian reservation's high suicide rate to incest. Members of the two tribes will get a face-to-face on Tom Bernard's morning show.
What did Tom Bernard do?
I guess what he did was he ran a bit that connected the high number of suicides on reservations to incest.
Oh. Did he have reservation weather?
That didn't go over so well.
Poor disc jockeys. Now you got to sit down with two Indians.
So stupid and so put upon.
You got to sit down. Before the start of a protest today, they called for the disc jockeys firing. Members of the two tribes will get a face-to-face on his morning show tomorrow.
Yeah, disc jockeys in the news again, screwing up, making mistakes.
That's right.
Ain't they great?
Apologizing to save their jobs, and in some cases apologizing and not saving their jobs.
They don't know how to handle a sensitive issue like Native American comedy, which is done with the chief Wahoo newsmaker.
Absolutely.
See, now we're laughing.
Of course.
Buzz, give it to me one time. You're home for light rock, less talk, 106.7 The Light.
106.7 FM, The Light, where the light is always on.
There's a boat lease for Vulgari at 6 o'clock, and you're going to be on it.
You'd never have that on a light rock station.
No.
You wouldn't have the
no drop-ins. Too much personality.
As you please, light rock, less talk.
Light rock, less talk. 106.7.
Oh, not again.
So many nights I'd sit.
But like they did with Steve Dahl, they'd save you and I, Mike.
Yes, of course.
We would be moved to some lesser station.
Right.
Don't we have a Jack FM around here somewhere?
Somewhere there must be one.
We see the light in your eyes, and we give you the light in your ears.
Are they still pretending in Baltimore with that?
I think there still is a Jack FM in Baltimore, isn't there?
I think
For goodness sakes.
Jack FM still surviving. Still hanging in there. Still hanging on.
And I've got something else that's kind of related to radio that I wanted to read. I don't know if any of you, it just struck me as weird. It's this thing I told you about. I read this thing to you, right?
Yeah, you were talking about that, right.
It's weird. It's just, it's a radio guy, and it's a weird thing, and I don't know why a guy would put this on a website for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's name is Steve Dahl, just mentioned his name.
Right.
He's like, it was Howard before Howard was Howard.
That's right, that's true.
And
you knew the guy for a long time.
Yeah.
He's kind of fascinated with you, at least in some of the remote places where we were doing a show, and he was constantly staring.
It was creepy
that one day.
There's no doubt the guy was a big influence on my radio life, but when I worked at the same station as he did in Chicago, he went out of his way just to make my life a living freaking hell.
Yeah, he did that.
But he was the first disc jockey I ever heard who put his wife on the air.
Right.
Would talk about all things, no matter how bad they made him look.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I always kind of admired that. Okay, so then I had Frida on the year all the time that she was married before she passed away.
Right.
On the air to a lesser extent. I have Janet now. It can't be the same as it was with Frida.
No.
And the thing about this guy, Steve Dahl, is that he's always... Oh, that's right. Why is it that Rob remembers more about my life and your life sometimes than you and I do?
He's got that part of his brain that he dwells on it.
Rob remembers that when
he's younger, he said.
Rob remembers when I worked at WLS with this guy. This guy had his own studio like we do, and he had a couch, would do the show laying on his couch, and he also had a little mini refrigerator full of chocolate soda that he put a lock and a padlock.
I remember that. I remember the chocolate soda. And wasn't it a specific, not Yoo-Hoo, but a specific kind of chocolate soda?
Canfields. He remembers the brand.
How do you remember that?
Here's the thing.
Didn't think we'd require that.
It was my life. Uh-huh. It was my life, not his life.
That's right.
1981.
Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
How do you remember the soda brand?
Love.
Love. You're right. Love.
I just do.
Love.
All right. So, despite what we say.
That's retail. He knows that retail stuff.
There's a lot of people in radio, speaking just for myself, that I admire a lot and respect and it influenced me. And one of them was this guy, Steve Dahl.
Absolutely, rightly so.
So, you know, I put Frito on the air for all of those years. And as far as I had known, he has continued to put his wife on the air. And for those of you who thought that when Frito was alive, she was on a little too much, I say to you, you should have tried this guy, Steve Dahl show sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of this stuff is going on in Chicago. What with one of the disc jockeys, again, who's a friend and an influence of mine, John Landecker, he has the same agent as we do. Our agent just screwed up his deal, and he just got fired.
What?
And then this other station's changing format. So and Buzz and I used to work in Chicago, so I've still got some roots back there, which is why I still sometimes get calls from people saying, did you hear this or did you see this? Well, this guy Dahl has been on the air longer than Mike and I have, and his wife's been on the air.
A lot.
One of my radio guys, one of my radio buddies said, go to this website and read what his wife wrote.
It's pretty amazing.
Now, his wife has a blog?
Yeah. Okay. And you should also know that, like I said, with Frida, although even more so, this lady used to be on his show, at least the way I remember it, all the time.
Now, you talked about, I think off air, you were telling me that she had blogged about him and said, I guess she has some choice things to say?
Yeah. This is an interesting thing. I don't
and
know.
And incidentally, they're still married, right?
Well, that's kind of what,
as far as we know.
What happened was, I know we're talking about a guy that no one knows, but I find this interesting radio-wise.
Yeah.
It's a guy who lived his life on the radio through his family and everything else that happened, reached a point when, I guess from what I hear from Chicago, she's no longer even associated with the show.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mention that he's married. He doesn't mention what's going on at home.
All right.
So she writes this. Janet's Planet. It's his wife's name, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Standing by. This spot on the Steve Dahl website is so stale, I cannot let it remain untouched. I've asked Steve to eliminate me from these columns. Not because I'm tired of posting my meanderings, but because my presence here is not reflective of any connectivity to the current Steve Dahl show. I am an amputated appendage.
Ooh.
Mm. I feel a twinge of phantom pain, but it's telling me to think differently.
Wow, that's how she starts, huh?
That's the first paragraph.
So she's been eliminated from the show. That's what we can tell by by what she says.
Guess so.
But she's writing on his website, which means she's still connected.
Years ago, I was the conscience on the phone, the newspaper editor, current events briefer, and the reflection of Steve's other world. Now I am nothing to the show. Truth told, the show does not need me in these capacities. Mark does a masterful job and dedicated job of pouring news and factoids into Steve's head. Steve's other
world. Is
that
like the producer?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's other world is just like his public world since he became a non-drinking, exercising adult. It needs no interpretation.
Mm-hmm. This is cracking
Hold
me up.
On.
Because it sounds like she's bitter that he's, I guess
wait.
he's slowing down.
Well, you got to hear the whole
All
thing.
All right, go ahead. I'm just interpreting it as it goes on.
Okay. It needs no interpretation. He is funnier in his public pronouncements than he is at home. So I rarely have an antidote to tickle the audience with. I am the very middle-aged mother of Steve's grown men, 22, 24, 26. Steve rarely speaks of me, consults me, or internalizes my ideas about the show. He doesn't need to. He stopped using instant messaging with me during show hours because the delay and multiple messages are disconcerting. Mm. He's told me he doesn't want to be called and chastised anymore. And I can take a hint. My instinct is to make the separation total and fold up this literary exercise. I'm thinking about it.
Okay, well, she's so far not saying she's going to fold up her tent at home.
Right.
She's saying she's not going to write on his website. Now,
I'll
tell you, I do smell something already. I'll be honest with you. I smell a rat. It sounds like good ratings.
In the meantime, I want to assure the people who have written to ask if we are divorced or separated, because I am so absent from the show, that I am still steady on the home front. The home front is a less interesting place than it used to be. Before the boys were emancipated, Steve's energies were less formatted by his radio responsibilities. This is still a place where Steve returns to watch his sports, write his blog, email his listeners, eat and sleep. See? There's not a lick of anything there to muse about. I am like the comfortable old shoe.
She can write very well.
Yeah. I am like the comfortable old shoe. Still here. A good place to be. Not much to talk or look at. But never fear. I am standing by.
Wow. That's it.
Wow.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And she hasn't written anything since.
No,
that's very interesting.
That was up on October 1st. Mm-hmm. I find that highly interesting.
I find it interesting, too. I mean, this is somebody who was a very big part of his show. As you mentioned, bigger than Frida was on this show.
Absolutely.
And obviously a contributor. I mean, this is a woman that's desperately unhappy. But you see, I do still smell the rat that this could be in the wonderful world of radio. Maybe this is being stirred up for the purposes of ratings.
I've heard from enough. Well, first off, I don't know how many ratings he has left.
Right.
And second, it's been going on long enough behind the scenes. I don't think it's a publicity thing. I mean, it's just she's just been erased from the show.
People started.
Would he ever come on our show to talk about it?
Oh, probably not.
Probably not.
I'm sure he wouldn't.
Right.
Why the hell would he? I mean, what's he want?
Because we're, you know, we're fascinated with
come
it.
Come on our show and find out how come his wife's not going on his show
well,
anymore.
Well, he's obviously aware of it. And but a boy, it sounds like, you know, it's the old argument of coming home from work. You come home to, you know, to eat, sleep, and S.
Uh-huh.
And that's about all. Watch his sports. Email his listeners. What the there's, you know, you pull different things out of that little blog.
And she's an old shoe, and she's also the appendage, the amputated appendage.
And I guess he's not drinking anymore, and he's a health nut
working
now.
Out some.
I'd like to know what kind of health nut. Have you seen a recent picture?
If you go to the webpage, I think you'll find that maybe that's not the number one priority at home.
Still, he's a lot thinner than he used to be.
Well,
thin, a relative term. But.
Yeah, he sounds like he's not happiness in doll land right now.
I don't know, just a very kooky thing. I mean, I pictured
myself.
Well,
keep us posted if you hear anything further.
Oh,
I
certainly will. Just,
further developments.
I look at that and I go, God damn, what if things ever had gone that like crazy like that with Frieda? What would I mean, that's the problem. Really, that's the problem. If you're going to be a guy and you're going to be in radio and you're going to, you know, don't make the Howard mistake, right?
Right.
If you're going to be a guy and you're going to present yourself and say, listen, I'm a pussy-whipped, happily married guy.
Right.
I'm miserable about it, but I'm in love with this woman.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to keep her there. You got to keep her there.
Well, it's not always his decision, though,
right.
Obviously. And obviously, there is not the extent of control where, I mean, you know that he edits that website. You know he has to know what's going out on that website, unless she snuck it in there. I mean, there it was for everybody to read, and it stayed up for long enough for people to download that. So who knows what's going on?
I don't know. It seems to me if he put it up, that maybe that's the, well, who knows? Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true.
That's a very unhappy little blog, though.
It is.
That's a woman who is, she refers to herself as an amputated appendage.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right up. Wow. There.
Okay, so that's today's behind
the curtain. Are there any pictures of her?
I'd
love to see a picture of the young lady.
I don't know.
You know, because I'd like to be the judge of whether she's not much to look at. Fascinating.
We got a picture of a squirrel.
Have a picture of a squirrel?
It's a picture of a real squirrel.
Oh. There she is. Picture of her?
A little like Mrs. Green Thumbs.
Hot.
She's got a strong jaw.
She's a lawyer, right? She's a lawyer, I think.
Like she used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to send Janet an email.
Janet Dahl. Mm-hmm. Not my girlfriend, Janet.
Right.
That's all.
And it sounds to me, there are a couple of references in here. She does not like the exercising. You know, still where Steve returns to watch sports, write his blog, email his listeners, eat, jog, and sleep.
Well, you know why she hates the exercise?
Why?
That prolongs his life.
Rob put it with that very nice way.
He might be right.
I don't know. Crazy. That's crazy, right?
Sure is.
That's like a guy that lives on the radio with his life, right?
But a hopeful headline.
You pull the life away there, right?
Standing by,
sure.
She says.
Standing by.
So she's standing by her man.
It's not very optimistically.
Very funny.
Listen, in that situation, there's only two ways out, my friend, doll, two ways out. One way is the way that I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Seriously, that's all. And the other way is the Howard way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my advice to him would be, suck it up and keep the show going.
Well, it depends. I mean, you never know what the reasons are for her lack of presence on the show. I mean, you have no idea what's going on with all, you know, it's not like we hear him every day and we know what's going on. It's just a very interesting development.
I can't help it, Mike. I take her side.
You always do.
Yeah.
You always side with the ladies.
Always.
It's your curse. It is your curse.
Oh, my God.
Always siding with ladies. Hey, one of the things about this business, you know, when you do this every day, your personal life is going to be part of what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable, you know. Your successes, your failures.
But, you know, it just depends how much you want to throw it out there.
That's right.
Right.
You know, and from my way of thinking, he's a guy who always threw it out there all the time, every time.
Yeah.
I only throw it out there like when a woman leaves me in Bermuda or something like that. You know what I mean?
We do.
Well, you got to tell the truth.
Sometimes you
gotta say what happens.
You got it going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Come on, you've got it going on now.
I got a good lady now. I do. I got a very good lady now. Very, very happy.
Stop focusing on the one that left you for Goldie. And she did, right?
I'm thinking you're right. Didn't she?
Yeah, she was the cop.
The
right?
cop.
The cop.
God, I don't even remember her name.
You were standing in the room.
I don't even remember her name.
Drinking beer at 6 a.m. watching her flight take off.
Yeah, God, you got a good memory on that one.
I'm like Rob with you.
You do. That was a great, you know, one of my great low points.
Did you remember that?
I did.
I did too.
But I don't have her name.
I don't remember either. She was blonde. We went to Regis and Kathy Lee together.
She wasn't a real blonde.
With you and Frida.
She wasn't a real blonde, was she?
I think maybe yes. Yeah, I think so.
Was she with you before or after Goldie?
Maybe after.
Ew.
Yeah.
Hi. Ew.
Yeah. I had completely forgotten Goldie. Thanks for bringing that up. Jesus.
Again, history.
Oh, no. If you knew Goldie. Wow.
He's a country disc jockey.
Boy, oh, boy.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Is he really?
Hi. Also, would you call Goldie and ask him about that time when he answered the door to his house? And imagine my surprise, but Grady Vance was there. And Goldie had on the tiniest New York Giants football helmet.
Sunnier days.
Hi, guys.
Sunnier days.
Good times. Okay.
I really didn't mean to call that woman's mother a lesbian either. That's what did it. Did you know that?
No. What? No.
When she left me?
Oh.
That's what did it.
Oh,
the,
sure.
Which... I'm sorry.
The one that left me, the one with Goldie, the cop.
Which woman that left you?
The cop.
Balcony.
In Bermuda.
You called her a lesbo.
No, called her mother a lesbian. Not a good thing to do.
Probably not.
Why'd you do that?
Wanted to be mean. We were having a fight.
Well, it worked.
The meanest thing I could think. No, there was spaces for it.
You just throw that out there?
Huh? Yeah, just threw it out there.
She's like, "What? So you're a jerk. Hey, your mom's a lesbian."
Oh, no, and it was a little something than that. A little more than that.
Elaborate.
A little more than that. I could refresh you on the story. I still remember a little bit of it. I can't remember the person's name, but I remember the story. I remember what set me off. I remember why we spent the whole weekend fighting, the whole little vacation.
Every time I'm with you, I imagine I'm with Goldie from Oldies 100.
Do you know what started it? What? You know what time we were supposed to meet to get ready to fly out to lovely, expensive Bermuda the next day?
What?
Do you know what time she arrived?
What time?
3 a.m.
Oh.
Same time Joe calls people. And then that was kind of the beginning of the whole thing.
When you referred to her mother as the lesbian, was it? Did you use a shorter word?
I
than
did
lesbian?
A very very punchy short little word.
Perhaps like
God
a sitcom
bless you.
Star.
Rest in peace, Cheryl.
Yes. You called her Mama Dyke.
Yes. Yeah.
In the heat of the moment.
In the heat of the moment, and you're right. And then
did you modify it at all?
The real fun began when I went down to Hamilton, Bermuda, and began to drink my sorrows away and try to maneuver a scooter back to my hotel. That's one thing I don't recommend. Try, you know, you're going to get a scooter. Yes, I don't recommend that you drink all afternoon and try to maneuver a scooter.
Don't drink.
And then I went to the airport where she was leaving, and she reached into her purse and said, she said something like, you know, you're a really nice guy, but you might have some issues with anger. And at that point, she reached in, and she said, really, as the plane was 20 minutes away from boarding, she reached into her purse and said,
she was a sage, a seer.
Incidentally, here's your passport. I remember that moment, too.
So she could have taken it.
She would have left with it.
Wow.
And you would still be in Hamilton, Bermuda.
Happy. Happy, happy, happy.
And that would have been the name you used.
But she
there,
gave you your passport back.
She gave it to me back, yeah. I don't know how that happened. I don't remember that part. But it was, and then I remember, you know, bringing the scooter back from the airport and then watching. I could see the airport from my hotel balcony and watching the plane leave. And then coming back to you and saying, hey, you're going to love the opening of the show.
Yeah, I
hit bottom over the weekend.
I did.
Rock bottom.
I remember that. I remember the way you described it. Big panoramic view.
Yeah.
You open up the dual drapes in your hotel room.
Right.
You're there. You're all night stinking drunk.
Yep.
And you're toasting her plane with a can of beer or whatever in your
bottle
hand.
Bottle of Amstel Light.
Bottle of Amstel Light.
Remember it well. There's a plug. How about that, huh? Didn't even get it for free.
Did you feel like an amputee, Mike?
I did. I felt
did
like
you feel like the other shoe, an old shoe.
No, I actually.
Whatever she wrote.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
At that particular time, I almost felt free, but a little lonely.
Sure,
it's not a good place to be. Those vacation resorts, not fun when you're by yourself.
That's
right.
But I met some friends after that. Cut my vacation short by only 2 days.
You always seem to.
I bounce back.
Rebound, golden boy.
You have to.
Hey, don't forget this, Mike.
Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
I'll tell you something. They can never take that away from you.
And you know what I have to say to that?
What's that?
Sure, why not?
All right, Billy Crystal. As you know,
oh! That's evil. You know, I am not Billy Crystal.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are. You're Billy.
I had more than 700 Sundays with my father.
The way that Billy Crystal is with the Yankees now is that overbearing way that you're going to be with the Red Sox.
I'm going to produce a movie about it. A movie about yes. Yay. Yay, rah, rah. Go Bo Sox.
All right. When we come back, something besides this. How about
something different?
I'm waiting for that.
How about that?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I would definitely would love to, you know, open my heart, give him my ear, my arms, my...
Oh, hold on. This is the praying mantis, Celine Dion. They asked her about Britney Spears.
Okay.
Celine Dion.
I would definitely would love to, you know, open my heart, give him my ear, my arms, my comfort zone, for sure. I wish for her to be as fortunate to have people in her surrounding to help her to achieve how she sees herself and what she wants to do. Yeah. She'll be okay. Yeah. She'll be okay.
That bitch!
The Don and Mike Show.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now! Leave Britney alone!
They're not dumb. They're stupid. Don and Mike.
Celine Dion does that thing almost like the cat on Hell's Kitchen. You know what I'm talking about? Yes?
Yes.
She throws something in there.
And she also does the thing that Borat does when she said she's got to be familiar with her surroundings. Did she refer to it as Britney Spear?
Oh, let's hear it again.
She doesn't put the S's
I would definitely would love to, you know, open my heart, give him my ear, my arms, my comfort zone, for sure.
She said her comfort zone.
Comfort zone.
And listen, she'll leave the S off of certain words here.
Wish for her to be as fortunate to have people in her surrounding to help her to achieve how she sees herself.
Surrounding.
What she wants to do. Yeah. She'll be okay.
She said, do what she wants to do. Yeah. She'll be okay. Yeah.
She had the people she'll in her okay. surrounding. Very nice. United States and America.
That thing is on HBO constantly.
It is all over HBO now.
And the more you watch Borat, the more you wonder. Like the guy from Criswell Chevrolet, who was nice enough to join us on the show.
And one of the best guys, I mean, that comes across not too bad in the movie.
Right.
The guy was actually the guy that is selling Borat the Hummer.
Right. Right.
And we had the guy on our show, on our radio show, right after Borat came out. And he was like, I had no idea what was going on. You rewatch Borat a couple of times, and it's highly reworth. It's rewatchable.
Yes, very much so.
Only to the extent, in my case, I watch it, I still laugh. Now I look at it, I go, hold on. How, like the people at the dinner party.
Right.
I know it's real. I know it's true.
It can't be fake. It's just too, I mean, there's no way it was staged.
I know it's not fake, but. Beyond where he's got his poop in a bag, she's back there showing him how to use the toilet.
Yeah, you know, if you're sitting there and a guy that you have never seen before, you have no awareness of a Da Ali G show or any of that, and you see him, he's totally in character, and his character is so strong and it's so credible and so believable. You know, I could see him. I can see why he dupes people. You know, even the one that I love is when he brings out the bottle of vodka in the driver's ed class, you know, when he's drinking that. No, you can't do that. Well, all right, if that's the way you want to do it. And he goes, hey, he goes to the heartland. Mm-hmm. He really goes to the heartland, which is a smart move on his part.
And the part with the TV people slays me every time.
Right.
When he walks onto the weather guy's set, and the weather guy's like, hey, we're live on the air. Hello, we're live on the air. I'm just amazed that nobody at that level, even on a local TV level, thought, by the third or fourth time you watch the movie, you think, hold on a second. Don't they know there's a guy like in a Pee Wee Herman suit coming in?
I know.
It's the magic of the movie. Don't get me wrong.
It's the magic of the movie and also the fearlessness of Sacha Baron Cohen when he was doing that.
Indeed.
You know, even as far as getting the bear in the back, the back of that. Because when I look at that, I say, that really is bear poop all over the back of that. I mean, I believe that when I see it. And now, you know, the only thing better than being Sacha Baron Cohen is being one of his attorneys, because it does seem like the guy is getting sued every single day by somebody else that's now just catching up to the fact that they were duped, you know, in front of the audience.
Well, he gives the guy the cheese. We played that day because it came from his wife's teeth.
Hello, Bobar.
And then he's sitting there with Alan Keyes. And he says, you're really chocolatey.
Chocolate colored.
Too great.
Oh, fantastic. And, you know, do you think there is any way, because apparently he's trying to do it, that he's going to be able to pull off another movie if he goes into another character? I'm sure you can find people that don't know what's going on everywhere.
Wasn't he supposed to have some, like, sprockets guy or his designer guy that he was going to be doing a movie about?
He does the fashion guy, if you ever catch it. And they still show it on HBO once in a while.
On the Ollie G show?
Yeah, and he's a blonde guy, over-the-top gay guy. It's also very funny.
And is that what he's doing now? I mean, is he...
I don't know if they've started. That was the plan when it stopped. But I have to imagine with the lawsuit stuff that's going on,
right?
Who's going to greenlight it?
I would love to see a copy on The Smoking Gun. I wish they'd come up with that, of the release that he had people sign. I'd love to read the language. I would really love to read the language.
Remember
the
guy
from
Criswell said that it was very, very small, almost hard to read, and excruciatingly minute in its detail, to a point where they would just blow it off and sign.
Right.
So
right.
That's one of the reasons.
Anyway, doesn't he have a book coming out now, too? I mean, I know it's a year after the fact.
Yeah, but it's a fake book.
Yeah, but that's what I meant. Continue. Of course, it wouldn't be a real book. Right?
It's a fake book.
Borat's not a real guy.
Very nice.
So did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger yesterday? Maybe you saw the clip at the Chargers game.
Right.
He's out at midfield, and he's there, and he says, you know, how about our firefighters?
Hi.
And he's got the big dumb leather jacket on, and then he says, go, Chargers, go.
They listen to him. He has the power of the governor to get them to win.
And after the game, Buzz.
Yes. What about weed?
Yes.
Is there going to be any weed?
I've heard about this.
Here's what Arnold had to say. They're talking to him after the game about the wildfires. Mm-hmm. And a wildfire. We'll be riding wildfire. In the middle of this, somebody says to him, hey, Arnold, there's a new GQ, and it says in your bodybuilding days that you didn't do any drugs. And then somebody mentions there's that scene in Pumping Iron where he's smoking a doob.
Yeah, very obviously smoking a doob.
Anyway, the quote is, pot is not a drug, it's a leaf.
Oh, really?
California.
Well, you know what? That's going to get him reelected in California.
Governor of California.
Pot is not a drug, it's a leaf, like anything that would fall off the trees and stuff. We'll be
riding wild. Don't charge us gold.
Hey, Maria, you think I should wear the fireman helmet when I walk out on the field?
It was just, if you get a chance to watch it, I'm sure Keith Olbermann or someone will show it, because it comes out of left field, and he just turns and says, it's a leaf.
It's a big leaf. That's what it is. Hey, you give me credit for having the bodybuilder's strength to blow out the fires with my lungs?
Do you want to be grossed out? Think about this. This was on E! Entertainment Television over the weekend, that in a stunt move for the sweeps, Ellen is going to be one of the models on Deal or No Deal.
Oh, lovely. Is she trying now desperately to salvage the damage that was done when she came out and cried like a baby about the dog?
Yeah, and she's going so far with this to try to repair her damage that the rumor that they're throwing out there now is that she may actually dress like one of the supermodels.
Wow.
Oh, really?
That she may not come out in
her... Hey, maybe you get a chance to see what you've always talked about.
Be all right. She wore a dress one time, like during the Academy Awards or something, didn't she?
I've never seen her in anything but a pantsuit. A pantsuit and her, like, Keds that she wears.
I think one time she had, like, one of those Queen Elizabeth things where it's got, you know, it's got big fluffy things underneath the...
But if she's going to wear the little skimpy dresses that they wear on Deal or No Deal?
They have not decided. They are debating. They're going to be taping it on November 9th, and it says right now that Ellen is leaning towards dressing like a supermodel. Or will the other play be this? Will all of the supermodels wear pantsuits like Ellen?
Go the other way. Other way. Don't wear the pantsuits. And I wonder what Ellen's body looks like when you get her out of those boxy pantsuits.
I told you, I bet.
I mean, you said she's good up top, but how do you think the rest of it is now?
I think her breasts are probably, if I had to rate them, I'd say they're an 8.
Right.
Well,
you saw them in that movie.
That HBO movie.
Right. She was lying down. So when you can see them lying down look like that.
Yeah, they weren't totally pancakey.
They weren't. There's a rumor floating around that she's breaking up with Portia de Rossi.
Yes, there is.
She issued a denial.
Oh, really? She denied it?
She did.
Of course she had. You know, and that's oh, man. That's the couple we should have thought of the other day. Because I know we're thinking just men and
that's
women.
Right.
But Portia, what's her last
name? DeRossi.
Okay. With Ellen DeGenitals. Now, there is a truly hot woman with a very unattractive husband, although they are both in show business together.
Yeah, and the husband is a superstar.
Count.
The husband is a big superstar.
Right. Yeah.
I will be very curious to see just how square and rectangular the rest of Ellen's body is.
I don't know.
I believe.
She's in shape. I mean, she's not fat.
She'll be all right. She got a big, flat ass. And I also think that she is very clean. I think that she probably down there, probably beautiful.
You think so?
I think she probably takes a lot of
pride. I think she probably, if she's the husband, when you see pictures of him, she certainly looks like the husband in that relationship. I think perhaps she wants to have a kind of a manly growth.
Not with the supermodel Portia.
Right.
Now, the supermodel Portia is the one that has to be Brazilian waxed.
No, they
all
both
nice
have to be
special.
Soft and feminine and
really
smell like daisies and vanilla.
You bring up something really valid, though, when you talk about her wide, flat ass. When she's dancing on her show,
right?
Sometimes when her coat or whatever it is, her Shirley Jones shirt rides up, and you see her wide, flat ass when she's dancing, I think that ass is a problem.
You think it's a large?
I think it's not.
Is it flat or is it large?
I think it's large but wide.
Wide.
It's flat and
no,
wide.
So she might have the saddlebags?
No. Yeah. Her ass could hang up on the wall. It's like a flat screen TV.
Vios.
Ellen has. Right. She has.
Well, it still doesn't prevent from to see a picture of her naked.
Right.
Just so we can
have it for you in a minute,
because it's the curiosity of it, and we've had these arguments as
I agree.
To what's you know what she would be like, what she would look like, what's her hygiene like.
I'd like to see her on a Lazy Susan so we could see her from all angles.
I think her hygiene is probably impeccable.
I think she's very clean.
She's a very smart gal. You give her that.
Yep.
I think she's clean. I think she is very aware that in her relationship she's the ugly one and that the other one is beautiful. And
so she has to go the extra mile.
I imagine that. Even though it goes against her tomboy image.
But, you know, it's not necessarily like a guy.
She probably fems it up at home.
If it's like a guy, though, you know, if the chick's in love with you, you know, once you know that, you know, and there, once you get comfortable, I bet Ellen is extremely. Hey, comfort is job one, even when she's on her television show. I mean, that's somebody that's on TV all day with
Mike,
that comfort. What do you
image,
think she's
though.
Like when she's a. How about when she's at home, though?
That's what I'm saying. When she's at home,
she goes completely the opposite direction.
She's totally femme. She dolls it up. She puts on the baby doll nightgown.
You think she dresses like June Cleaver when Portia's coming home from another one of her auditions?
No, I'm talking like, you know, sexy Victoria's Secret stuff.
Really?
She's very feminine, I bet, when she's at home.
Boy, I bet she'd look like you know, a member of the Miami Dolphins.
Don't lesbians like women?
Well, they're the lipstick lesbians, and then there are the butch lesbians.
There are
I don't know. You know, we have had so many friends in the life, and God bless Cheryl.
Cheryl,
God rest her soul.
Mm-hmm.
I miss her. Yeah. She would be jumping in right now and give us the lowdown.
She always wanted to do Ellen.
Oh yeah.
Did she really?
She always really, really wanted to do Ellen.
I've never understood the differences as to why certain lesbians are referred to as lipstick lesbians and other lesbians are butch. I don't necessarily think it's always the man-woman type of thing. I'm not really sure how that works. I think when you get behind closed doors, I think a lot of that changes. The way it's just the personal style of the way somebody likes to dress.
How many beers? Ellen.
Ellen?
Right now. Ellen, how many beers? Please be honest.
Case.
You're lying.
Yeah.
For me,
hey, Meredith Vieira. We've established the fact that,
no
that I don't agree
no
with the you know
no beers for me. Buzz,
no beers.
Robbie,
four
beers, and a case for Mike.
Portia de Rossi, feed her the case of beer.
I'd give up beer.
I'd give up beer forever. and Anne Heche.
What show is she on?
Anne Heche, two beers.
Anne Heche, as she is now.
I've seen her on TV. I've seen her on the TV. I've looked at it.
Seen Men in Trees?
No.
That's her show.
Really?
I'm going to say more than a six-pack.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
So Ellen before Anne Heche, then?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Now, hello, Don and Mike show.
Well, as a lipstick lesbian, I would say I would do Ellen with no beers.
Thank you, Kathy.
Hi there. Don and Mike show. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's up, Don and Mike?
Hi.
Hey, Don, I take issue with Ellen having number 8 breasts.
Having number 8 breasts.
You said you'd give her a number 8 in the chest department?
Yeah, yeah, 8 out of 10. I think she has very strong...
Well, we've seen the breasts. We've seen the breasts naked. We know
and,
for
and
a
you
fact.
And you can see them swinging around on when she dances on her show.
No.
She has big milk jugs.
I will tell you this. When she does dance, she does have a bit of... rhythm to her. She does have a bit of style.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of got she loves to dance, and she doesn't dance badly.
She pretended to be straight for all those years.
Did she really?
Kind of. Well, you know, I mean, she hid it.
Yeah, she hid it. She didn't come out and do it publicly.
Hello?
There's a good reason she's a lesbian, you know.
No. Well, wait, have you seen her breasts?
I haven't seen them, but I've seen Anne Hesh's.
Okay, it's Anne Hesh, not Anne Hesh.
Who got picked for the movie there with, what's his name?
Oh, God, Jesus.
You're not up to the conversation.
I want to tell you, I saw that thing about the guy with the thing.
Hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, that movie, I don't remember the name of it. She had great, great boobs.
Yeah, she really did. I remember coming in here the Monday after that was on and really talking about
it. I'm guessing now downstairs, unshaven.
Yeah, me too.
Walls Could Talk Too was the name of the movie.
That's right.
If these vaginal walls could talk.
Sugar walls.
My sugar walls could talk.
If these hairs could talk.
You know what they'd say? We love it down here. It's so nice. Mm-hmm. Ellen keeps us so clean and... Portia comes by every night with a big brush and gives us 100 strokes on our big, full, hairy.
Hey, you know what they would say if they could talk? Hey, it's crowded down here.
No,
it's so crowded.
I want to see the talking muff.
It's so crowded.
The talking crab. Hi, everybody. Here I am. Go away if you're a man. Go away. I'm Ellen Sting. Look at me. Look at me. Why are we doing that thing with our hands?
Because we're doing those Senors Puentes or whatever.
I am Ellen's vagina.
Hello, stay away. Look at my giant beard.
Look how pretty I am.
I have a beard like Grizzly Adams.
Look at that. Mike O'Mara is so wrong. I have such a pretty beard.
You are saying that you do not have a beard at all, right? I am saying I have a big, big beard.
I'm saying I have wonderful... Wonderful, beautifully manicured hair, just like Don wants.
Oh, is that what you're saying now? I thought you said it would be smooth.
Oh no.
No.
God, no.
Really?
Ellen is not shaved.
You think Ellen's got, like, a landing strip?
Probably, uh-huh. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I Ellen definitely has hair down there. You really think she's shaved?
No, I think she's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. But you think she's bohemian?
Yes.
You think it's like a bird's nest?
I believe it is. I believe it's clean as a whistle, but I believe there's no real thought to it.
Oh.
It's okay. I'll be one of the eggs in that
and
nest.
And it's not an overwhelm. She's not. She doesn't appear to be a hairy person.
Right. I want to tell you something else. Seriously, don't delete this out. I swear to God, I bet there's not an odor problem.
I don't think so either.
No.
I'm simply saying that the down there, I'm sure it's regularly cleaned and everything.
Coiffed.
Might be one of the cleanest in Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Might be.
Let's not go crazy.
Sure, let's think about it.
The cleanest in Hollywood?
How clean do you think?
I'll give you a great example. Jennifer Aniston. I bet that's very clean. I bet that is tended to like you would not believe.
Pains me to say this.
You think Ellen's is cleaner?
I bet Ellen's place is cleaner than Jennifer Aniston's place.
Really?
Really.
And I'm fascinated by this.
Me love Jennifer Aniston long time.
I know.
Man.
I know you do.
I mean, I just watched The Breakup again this weekend on HBO with Vince Vaughn.
Right.
She's hot as balls in that.
Not as clean as Janine Garofalo.
Or Amy Winehouse.
There you go. Rob and I have both taken the number one and two champions right now. Oh, Amy Winehouse.
Put them in the squared circle.
I'm generally not for that, but I would shave her down.
The razor would crack.
Man. Amy Winehouse.
No,
Razor
freaking
would,
out.
Would go fall apart like an ice cube.
Wow.
Amy Winehouse. We're going to have to put you down.
I think if you shaved her, though, Amy Winehouse, that would probably look like the Mucinex character.
Oh, nasty. Oh, that is horrible.
Hi, we're Flem. We're in here. We're having a good time in here.
Help us. Throwing a little toenail fungus in there, too. Man.
Wowzy woozy.
Man, I tell you, Amy Winehouse looked like the Count of Monte Cristo.
I am feeling
after he's been in prison.
So gay right now, I think we should do something very gay.
Gay, 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 gay.
I love gay.
And we will when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're
great. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean, Ellen?
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gay, 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 gay.
Homo.
They love. Fully and completely.
Yummy,
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You see, Wednesday is Halloween.
Halloween!
True. It means Wednesday, Jardinger will be doing his annual trick or beer thing.
Just talking to him outside about his costume.
We'll discuss that tomorrow. Also on Wednesday, Rob reminds me of a time-tested favorite. Halloween.
Halloween.
That's where people just call and holler and scream.
Loudest wins?
Yeah, or
loudest or most original?
I don't know, something like that.
It's kind of like a hollering contest.
Then on Thursday, we do start the entire month of Homovember.
Homovember.
And we'll be talking about our very, very gay Thanksgiving show.
Wonderful.
Well.
So all of that coming tomorrow.
That's exciting.
We're gay now. We're gay
it's
every day.
It's a very gay Thanksgiving.
Well, it's a gay Halloween, too. Mm-hmm. Craig Wilson had his gay Halloween column in last week's newspaper,
right.
USA Today. We didn't get to it. In the spirit of Halloween this week, mm-hmm. Here you go, Mike.
All Hallows Eve.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Yes, you are.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
And now from last Wednesday's USA Today... Final word by Craig Wilson. Why trick?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I jump in there?
I was clearing my throat. I'm so sorry. I interrupted you by clearing my throat, but normally you say the final word by Craig Wilson.
And
would
then you I have it in your throat there, Mr. Man?
Not sure. It's a bit of a frog. I feel so bad now. Should we start over?
Did you hear them talking about Ellen? God, I wish those two queens would just come out of the closet already. They just talk about she's shaved, she's not shaved.
Oh, they just dwell on it. Why are they so interested? And we're doing ad lib, Craig.
Here we go. Start
this is
over.
Fascinating.
All right, I'm ready. Hi.
How you doing, boy?
I love Halloween. This is a new development. We make up our own columns.
Handies for Halloween. Do you remember the year we couldn't do this anymore? We had that stunt where men came down and they actually made love to pumpkins on our show.
Wasn't that a fascinating show? Mm-hmm. That was really wonderful. Remember how we stared and stared and stared and stared?
Do you remember the men were actually aroused?
Do you remember our big fight? Who gets to take home the pumpkins?
There's good pie there.
That's the best pumpkin pie I've ever had, boy.
That came up as well over the weekend for me. And one of these continuing discussions I have with people just about our show, uh-huh. About like, you know, I meet people now who I didn't know before who want to know like, oh, the show you do, what do you guys do? And I try to explain. Well, it got real different, like I was saying the other day about the phone rules. You can't just call people. And then the whole thing with Janet Jackson happened.
Yeah, yeah. And very sad. Very, very sad.
Anyway.
I'm still in character.
Just all the handcuffs that we have holding us down doing the show now.
Do you remember when we had the naked Thanksgiving?
Do I?
The whole
wow.
Family.
I was just saying to these people, I think the show is like crazy or outlandish now.
Oh, you should have heard it in the day when we were allowed to do all sorts of silly and frivolous things.
Well, yeah, in New York, and we had men actually make love to pumpkins, and we called it Fumpkin Pumpkin.
That's exactly what we called it.
It was quite a tongue twister, I'll tell you what.
I tell you, win or lose, those men had a good time.
It's so different doing a show now.
What exactly was the criteria for the winner? I'm trying to think.
It was the first man to complete.
There we are. Happy Thanksgiving.
And we didn't even have to talk about it, relatively speaking. Now we didn't have to use veiled language.
Nope.
We pretty much just announced, "Come on down to our studios if you want to make love to a pumpkin."
All you required was a bunch of pumpkins, a carving knife, and some willing participants.
Mm-hmm. Can't do that now. No,
that would be frowned upon.
Why, now we can't even call the pumpkin Picasso without getting his permission first to put his voice on the air.
Not fun at all.
But we work around these guidelines.
Because we're professionals. Look it up in the book.
Sure, we had to change a little bit of what we do.
We had to modify.
But we got good advice from a friend of ours named Squirrel.
Squirrel's down in the South, I believe. Where was he? Louisiana?
And also there's Izzy here. Or whether that
is
other,
he real?
Is he real?
Is he real? He gave us some very good suggestions.
Joe Boxer. Was that another one of the names? Joe Boxer.
Marino helped us. Kid Boogie was wonderful.
You're Kid Hitler.
I am.
I'm River. Liver.
River.
I'm Shoot.
And I'm Weed.
Kid. Can you say it in a gay voice?
And I'm Weed.
Thank you.
Who are you?
Kid Hitler.
From the USA Today, 2 days ago, the final word by Craig Wilson.
Why trick out the poor dog for trick-or-treat?
My friend Lil emails me every so often from Florida, passing on little gems she finds as she wanders the web. She's a recycler of sorts, boy.
Often it's a joke. A funny photo, a column or two she thinks I might enjoy.
But the other day, I received an email from her with a very straightforward subject line. Why dogs bite people?
I opened it, boy, to find the saddest looking pups ever, all dressed up for Halloween.
Why, there was a greyhound in a Superman outfit.
Why, there was.
Pugs sporting hot dog buns on their sides with a squiggle of mustard down their back. That's not mustard, boy.
Oh, dear me.
A dachshund with a giraffe head rising to the sky.
Every last one of them was screaming for help, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
I could see it in their eyes. Why, they were asking. Why are they doing this to me? I had no answer.
I thought I had nipped this unfortunate trend in the bud last Christmas, when I wrote about how my dog, Maggie, refused to put on a Santa Claus outfit. As well she would have. She just put her paw down and said, "No, boy. I've never been prouder of her."
It was all part of a holiday project we were doing here at the paper. She was the guinea pig, so to speak, and she didn't like the role one bit. I wrote then that it's perfectly fine if people want to dress their children funny. I have no problem with that. Just leave the poor dog alone.
Leave Britney alone.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I obviously still have a lot of work to do, but I'm happy to report I'm not alone. My colleague Steve is also perplexed by this practice of dressing up the pooch.
He forwarded me an email the other day that proclaimed more and more pet owners were dressing up their dogs in Halloween costumes, getting them in on the action, as if they asked. All part of the $5 billion Americans spend each year on Halloween.
Shouldn't that be a law against this abuse, he asked. I've had dogs most of my life, and they've barely tolerated the kerchiefs they get after the groomer gives them a bath. And while they like treats, they probably don't get this correlation between being put in a French maid's costume and getting an extra snossage.
I'd certainly like to get an extra snossage. Steve's email was from a PR firm offering up a dog shrink to share helpful tips pet owners can use when it comes to dressing up their dogs.
My favorite, quote, "It creates more bonding between dogs and owners. Owners pick out a costume. Dog looks cute. Dog gets the praise, attention, and rewards."
Really? I think the dog shrink is the one who needs help. Maggie figured out a long time ago that she can get praise, attention, and rewards without being made a fool.
And then there's a pet supply catalog founded by two veterinarians, no less, whose cover this month's worth of dog dressed up like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, complete with braids.
Shame on them.
I have an idea. You gotta dress up your little dog this Halloween. The least you can do is dress up as a dog. Pluto, maybe. Or better yet, how about Goofy? It seems only fair, boy.
Oh,
Craig
God.
Wilson's Halloween anus. I mean, opus.
That was Craig. Very serious, Craig.
Yeah.
You know, Craig not having
Scott
a lot of fun.
Scott Thompson saying, Don and Mike are a gay.
Nothing in there about, well, there's his dog. But nothing about, you know something, when there's a column without his mother or his partner, Jack, I get frustrated.
Sure. Oh, come on, Mike.
I'm sorry.
That's a winner, though.
Yes. I like the pugs dressed up as little hot dogs.
There's a squiggle of mustard down your back, huh? Yeah. Come here, let me lick that. That's not mustard.
I was thinking it'd be wonderful just to one day do a Craig Wilson column that wasn't written by Craig Wilson.
Where's my little dog, Maggie? Come here. Do you think that Ellen is shaved?
It's Halloween, and I'm going to dress up my package. It's going to be Craig in a box.
Oh, you mean like that Saturday Night Live thing?
With Justin Timberlake.
Okay. You're gross.
Sorry about that. I apologize. Please forgive me. It's Halloween, and we all know what that means.
It's time for the news.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
You got something for us, don't you?
I do indeed.
Stand by.
Stand up by.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Who he?
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get the news is to get some weather.
A pumpkin-colored sky on the eastern horizon this final Monday in October. Sun's been up now for the last few minutes. Good morning. We have some blazing autumn color on this Monday morning, illuminated by golden sunlight.
What?
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
No one gets out of here alive. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for Buzz's News Now, brought to you tonight by TGI Fridays Restaurants, where the three-course menu is back. Give me more Fridays. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you anyway?
I am well.
Let me see. Before we go on with the show, there's no World Series tonight.
Right.
No, I'm looking forward to getting a normal night's sleep.
Anybody know if that Packers game is going to be on at 8 or at 8:30? Anybody? Ferris?
Well, I think it's 8 o'clock.
I think they might move it back now that there's no World Series game.
You want me to check for you? I can put a couple of calls in.
Joe will find out.
Okay, sure.
And, come on, let's go Pack tonight. I only need 35 points from Brett Favre to win my fantasy game.
Good luck.
Hey, my quarterback scored me 50 points, so you should be okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom Terrific.
Tom Terrific.
I know.
If I didn't have Tom Terrific, I am not even in the running. I mean, that quarterback is all I got right now.
I think I mentioned I have Tom Terrific in one of my other leagues.
Right.
And in the other league, I'm getting nothing but hate mail where it has little comments down at the bottom. None of them directed at me.
Right.
But it's like, sure, he throws for three and he runs for two. You know, why don't you just bank blank.
But, you know, I was looking over the league this weekend because I actually didn't take my general manager top lineup's advice this weekend. I made a couple of changes at the last minute. And I'm noticing that, you know, there as far as Tom Brady, he's having a good season. But running backs and wide receivers, are there any real studs that are going bananas outside of Randy Moss with the Patriots
no.
right now?
And that's
I mean, nobody's really doing anything.
Stuart Scott says that a lot.
Right.
Going bananas.
Going bananas?
They're going bananas. ESPN Soul Jam. Or Poetry Jam.
That's right.
I know that LaDainian Tomlinson has been doing great. Really good.
Really, running backs are having a suck year.
Everybody is.
Well, hi, Buzz. How'd your fantasy weekend go?
Doing well. I think I'm 40 points up on Rob at this
point. No, I meant how did your fantasy weekend go?
Fantasy football.
No.
Fantasy weekend.
How'd your fantasy weekend period go?
It was a dream.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was a decent weekend. Yeah, it was, you know, got a lot of things done.
My
car has never been cleaner, and I raked leaves.
Oh, man, you know how to party.
You wish you were me?
How's the old lady?
She's doing swell.
What'd she do?
She drove me around town, and we shopped for furniture, actually. We did
some Buzz, for those of you who don't know, Buzz no longer has his driver's license.
That's right.
Just as a safety factor.
Too old.
Marcia courtesy, drives him.
Courtesy for others.
That's right.
Exactly.
Buzz, what kind of leaves?
the tree leaves, the you know, from the oak tree.
Okay.
Yes, rake leaves. Yeah, you think that's when he's just cleaning out seeds.
Carrie and I were shopping for furniture this weekend, too. A large wooden box.
I don't let the other leaves hit the ground.
Hey, wow. Joe?
Yes, Don.
Did you Google whatever we wanted you to Google?
Yes, 8:30, Don.
Oh, it's 8:30. I was wrong. Sorry.
8:30. Right on. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
And now here is Guy Burnley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The government agency that failed us during Katrina waited till the close of business Friday to admit it had faked a news conference and to apologize for that. This is called waiting till the end of the news cycle. The thinking is if you announce bad news at 5:30 on a Friday, most people won't hear about it because most people don't watch news on a Friday or Saturday night.
So they scam it with the news conference and they scam it with the release that they did it wrong.
And by the time people do hear about it, then it's old news.
You mentioned this on Friday, didn't
you? I did,
you?
Just as we were. It was a last-minute thing, as a throwaway just before we left on Friday.
I thought you didn't. It was like another one of those Stephen Colbert half-made-up stories.
Thought I made it up, didn't you?
Until I saw the tape.
Yeah, they really did it.
Practice that we would employ here.
Okay, hold on a second. Cut number 21. Oh, here's the FEMA phony press conference.
Ah, good.
Where the guy's on TV, and he's just being asked questions by FEMA people.
The lessons learned from Katrina have been applied.
And lessons learned from Katrina, it's like, is there day and is there night? And if you take a look at Katrina, where there really was no leaning forward, really, really was not a fabric of federal partners, where there wasn't good, smooth communication between the governor and the administrator of FEMA, the governor and the president, to see all the federal partners linked together.
Buzz, explain again what we're hearing exactly. It's a guy in a podium, and
they're faking a news conference. They threw this thing together at the last minute, and so lacking an audience of real reporters, PR people, public relations people.
Employed by FEMA.
Right, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, were planted in the chairs. And FEMA's defending this by saying, well, they asked questions that we'd already heard from other reporters.
The level of abuse and fraud.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, I know it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about this, people sitting down and coming up with this and having the audacity to do it is amazing.
Coming on the heels of Katrina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all the bad PR.
Mm-hmm. That we're so stacking the deck now that we can't even have a legitimate news conference.
All right, here's a little bit more of the fake news conference.
All right.
Pre-scripting mission assignments, having contracts in place, following a game plan. We didn't do any of those kind of things in Katrina. And what you're seeing now is a very smoothly, very efficiently performing team. You're seeing some fits and starts, as you would expect in a disaster. It's not storybook perfect. But
let's wait to hear one of the fake questioners
and to
see here.
A gap and to fill it right away, not wait to be told to fill it. And you're seeing a gap that exists for moments, not for days or a week. And so I think what you're really seeing here is the benefit of experience, the benefit of good leadership, and the benefit of good partnership, none of which were present in Katrina. So I think as a nation, people should sit up and take notice that you have the worst wildfire season in history in California, and look at how well the state and the
government look
at how well we're working together between state and federal
and
partners. It's a good thing to
see. Right, so then here is the
why do I think he was responsible.
Sure. All right, now here is the White House distancing themselves from this.
Yes.
It is not a practice that we would employ here at the White House, or that we certainly don't condone it. We didn't know about it beforehand. FEMA has issued an apology saying that they had an error in judgment when they were.
All right.
That's not a practice that we would condone because we don't think we could get away with it.
Hadn't thought of it first.
All right, then here's Chernoff, the Homeland Security guy.
I can't explain why it happened. I think it was one of the dumbest and most inappropriate things I've seen since I've been in government.
All right.
Maybe the best was Bob Schieffer. We've had him on the show before. Bob Schieffer is real news guy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Bob Schieffer.
Right.
He's pissed.
The real deal.
He's got the red ass.
The last time I was at Disney World, they had sticks of a certain height stuck in the ground with signs that said something like, you must be this tall to ride this ride. Well, FEMA, the disaster relief agency, must use a variation of that to hire its public relations staff. Somewhere on their employment application, there must be a clause that says your IQ must be below a certain level to work here. How else to explain FEMA's action last week when it staged a phony news conference where its employees posed as reporters and threw softball questions to the agency leaders so they could tell us all what a good job they were doing? Wow. Mind you, this is the same FEMA once headed by Michael Brown of Brownie, You're Doing a Heck of a Job fame. Mm-hmm. The agency that fell on its face during Katrina.
You know, this seems so simple to me. Why do you not give this man the 6:30 news?
They should. Mm-hmm. You know, should again.
Let Katie Couric go off and do lifestyle reports. Mm-hmm. Give this guy the news and let him come on at 6:30 and let him say every night, hi, I'm Bob Schieffer. Guess how we took it up the butt today?
And, you know, he does it in his little Texas way, yeah. Little mellow way, but he's letting it be, you know.
He's not done. He's still very mad.
While New Orleans drowned, remember, Brownie's PR people busied themselves by emailing old Brownie to roll up his sleeves before TV interviews so it would look like he was working hard. The Department of Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff said he found the phony news conference offensive, and since it is an emergency relief outfit, here's some emergency suggestions. Fire these people and the people who hired them, then explain to the new people that the best way for a disaster relief agency to get good publicity is to do a good job helping victims.
Right.
As part of a massive new PR campaign, you might even consider taking the PR staff from behind their desks and sending them out to deliver food and water to fire victims. Now, that would make a great story.
No, hey, man, you know, I couldn't say it better myself.
That's Bob Schieffer with a red ass, and rightly so.
And that is their priority, obviously, that they're not thinking about giving disaster relief. They're thinking about the PR angle. God, this is astonishing, and I would love to know. I would love to know how many people are still in that agency when when Brown was in there. I mean, when the secretary.
It sounds like there's some spillover just from the style. Well, I came here today.
Oh, here, hold on. Here is a tape of someone telling us what it was like. What it was like.
I have no problem with anything they did. I have no problem with anything they did.
Well, nothing's been the same since he left that day. Momentum.
I have no problem with anything they did. Nothing. No problem. No problems with from me. You would hope it wouldn't happen to you, but it did. It's been a while since that's happened to us. I have no problem with anything.
But look out, Dallas. Our coach is Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs didn't have anything to do with FEMA.
I have no problem with anything they did.
That's nice. Hey, you just got your ass kicked by 50 points.
I have no problem with anything they did.
Well, I wish you did, old man. Why don't you pray on that?
There's an angry fan, Don Geronimo.
Why don't you pull out a Bible and say, Dear Jesus, how do you stop Tom Brady from running it in twice in a row? Pray on that. Pray on that. Where's your Moses now, Gibbs?
Yeah, where's your Messiah now?
See? I have no problem with anything they did.
Got no problem. How about this? How about the giant cleat mark in your ass?
I have no problem with anything they did.
No, outsmarted by Belichick again.
Well, they gave him a good game.
Well, I came to the studio today expecting to have to deliver to you the bad news that the top PR guy at FEMA, the top public relations man at the Federal Emergency Management Agency, was about to be promoted to do the same job as director of the National Intelligence Agency.
That ain't going
to
happen now, right?
As of this afternoon, while we were doing this show, Pat Philbin has either resigned or has been fired. He's out again.
Get back to work! Get back to work, you morons!
Regis. Not to change the topic, but have you had a colostomy lately?
Regis's brother, Pat.
I've got an idea. What I'd like to do is, why can't we stage the press conference? That would be all right, wouldn't it? Gelman, let's stage the whole thing. Then they can ask her the easy questions, and I can have the answers already prepared.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin. I'm the PR director for FEMA. How are you?
You could be Regis's son in the wheelchair.
Ah, that's true.
How do we know that's not Regis's son in the wheelchair?
You'd never have any idea. But it's me, and everything's under control, and I know this. I'm confident. I'm Pat Philbin.
Pat.
Yes.
Your feet are so tiny.
I know. I've got little dove-like feet.
Hey, Pat.
Yes, yes, Don. A question from the back.
I heard from someone here on the show.
Yeah.
That they saw a guy in a bar over the weekend in a wheelchair.
Right.
In a Superman costume.
Yes, he was doing a Christopher Reeves impression, but he was legitimately in a wheelchair.
Did he win the costume contest?
I don't think he entered it, and it was a shame, but everybody appreciated his Superman costume in the wheelchair. I thought it was very clever. Very clever. And I know a good costume when I see it.
Do you have a message for Bob Schieffer?
I thought you were going to ask me who I was.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin.
Now do you have a message for Bob Schieffer?
Yeah, lick it. There you go.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin there, boy.
So you really saw a guy who was a guy legitimately in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he was hysterical.
Is
he was
that
great.
The greatest? Is
I
that...
gave him a high five. He was fantastic.
Well, not very high.
Not very high.
Thanks, Mike.
It was wonderful. He was terrific. But he said something at the end of the night, like not being able to, you know, enter the contest. But I think he might have left early. I'm not sure.
Hmm. Was the contest on a stage?
It was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hmm.
Sorry about that. That's heavy lifting.
Right.
Earlier, Don.
I'm Pat Philbin. Sorry, Buzz.
That's all right. Earlier, Don was talking about some comments from California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger about marijuana. Well, now the governor's people are backpedaling. So which is true? You be the judge when we continue.
What about weed? Is it going to be any weed?
When we continue.
Sure, I'll be right back, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show. What the bleep happened here?
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
Rich with the aroma of love. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
It's me.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Buzz. How are you anyway?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
A spokesman for California's governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, says the governor was kidding when he said marijuana is not a drug. Quoting the spokesman, it's like when he goes on Leno or The Daily Show. It was in a silly entertainment context.
Yeah.
But if you read the context...
Go, Chargers, go.
I just made a joke.
Oh, that's funny. Ha, ha.
Yeah, keep getting mad at your workout instructor, Travis.
Oh, you don't like him.
That's funny.
Nine.
You say you yelled at the guy, and then we get you on the show, and you say you're friends.
Who are you?
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought you were Pat Philbin.
Hi, I'm Pat Philbin. Get that news conference set up.
You know, it's on TV tonight.
What?
I'll tell you, we're very excited about this. Arnold smokes weed, and we like to dance. All of it on Dancing with the Stars.
Who are you?
I'm Pat Philbin.
Self-loathing.
I'm the self-loathing Pat Philbin.
Governor of California.
That's right.
Hey, Tom Bergeron, how you feel about weed?
I love it. There's nothing greater than sitting in my dressing room and lighting up a giant fatty. I'm Dancing with the Stars. I'm the self-loathing governor of California, Pat Philbin.
So the spokesman says the governor was kidding, but if you read the context of Arnold's interview with the British version of GQ magazine, he doesn't appear to be joking. It started when he told the magazine he hadn't taken drugs. Interviewer pointed out the movie Pumping Iron, in which he's seen smoking a joint, as Don mentioned earlier. In this interview, the governor responded by saying, this is not a drug, it's a leaf. And then he goes on to say, sort of defending privacy here, what would you rather have, a politician taking stuff and not saying, but making the best decisions? Or a politician who names all the drugs he or she has taken, but makes lousy decisions for the country? Why should I care if a politician takes sleeping pills every night so long as he can do his job?
That's right.
What do we got, like, half a Nazi running in California into the ground?
California's doing just fine. I basically toured all the sites of the fires when I was high.
Did you cure it?
I cured the fires.
That time we did.
That's right. Sure. I started one myself that was a fire line by throwing the lit dube out the window.
And that brings us to the latest petition drive in Oregon. The plan in Portland is to gather enough signatures to get on the ballot the question of letting liquor stores sell marijuana.
call it a referendum, if you like.
Well, what have we here?
Or Buzz's Monday agenda.
It's not as if Oregon needs this. Weed possession's already decriminalized there. Oregon was the first state to go green way back in 1973.
Oregon.
Buenos dias. One in every eight Oregonians admits to using the stuff, knowing they might have to pay a $500 fine, but only if they blow it in an officer's face. The biggest hitch in the Oregon plan is that it guarantees the wrath of the federal government.
Gracias.
The NFL considers this weekend's London experiment to be a smashing success. And
the NFL's retarded, then.
Paves the way for more NFL games on foreign soil.
I'm telling you, not only was it a poorly played game.
Horribly played game.
Really awful, ugly. The people that were there, it was like a one-time rock concert event. Mm-hmm. That's why the stands were full.
Mm-hmm.
They were so proud. They were saying, you know, we look in the stands and I must see every single NFL team represented by someone wearing a jersey. Gee, do you think out of 90,000 people, do you think maybe 30 people had jerseys on? Of course, it was like going to an event.
Who was the guy doing the color commentary in that game? Do you know?
The big fat guy?
Yeah.
Tony Siragusa used to play for the Ravens.
Oh, okay. That was Siragusa. All right.
81,000 people out there in crappy weather. Next season, two games will be played outside the U.S. Giants coach Tom Coughlin is kind of okay with that. Towing the company line, he said afterward, I'd be glad to give my opinion to the commissioner. It worked for us because they gave us a bye next week to recover, but we still had to adjust our schedule.
Here's the problem. Only a suck team like Miami is going to give up a home game and give up the money of that to travel. And the other game that they're talking about going overseas, allegedly, is that thing with the Bills playing like five games in Toronto.
Oh that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not even a big deal.
So one game would be in Toronto, maybe one in London, but I guarantee a guy like Dan Snyder, if you go to a guy like Dan Snyder and say, you're going to lose a home game or you're going to play in London, he, Jerry Jones, all of them, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stay at home.
Well, if you're going to do it all over the world. Like, make it in put one in Baghdad. I think that'd be fun.
What was the thing that I read yesterday about the owner of the Denver Broncos, the guy that wears that full-length mink coat all the time on the side?
Pat.
Whatever Philbin. His name is. Pat Bolden?
Pat Philbin.
Well, anyway, if there was to be a game five tonight,
right,
on radio station KOA in Denver, they have both the rights to the Rockies and to the Broncos.
That's the sports station, the big sports station out there.
And the Broncos have the right to bump anything else. The guy went to the radio station and said, listen, if there's a game five, you put the Rockies on KOA, the big station, and you can move the Broncos game to a lesser station. Could you ever, in the Washington Post,
because he cares about the fans of Denver. Right.
In the Washington Post, it said, could you ever see Dan Snyder doing this?
No, never.
Not a chance.
Yeah, and the station that he's going to put the Rockies on can actually be heard, which is significant, too.
Yeah, but Buzz, I just get the feeling that this is all just NFL BS hype about what a giant success it was. I
sure
heard
it is.
The players bitching about it, bitching about the travel, bitching about the food. It was a poorly played game.
Yeah, and it's all big business. And that, you know, it's really just doing the whole global thing. And I don't know if that, why do you have to do that all the time?
You know, put a team in Los Angeles first, for God's sakes. Get one of these teams that's about to fall apart,
right,
like Minnesota. Fix that before you worry about putting the team in London. Now here is Sports Authority Rob Spiewak.
I thought the field looked great. I like when they would fall down and slide 10 yards. That made it fun.
That's what he enjoyed.
Don't you like that?
Rob's a big mutter.
Yes, I am.
He's a mutter fodder.
And my father's a mutter.
ESPN, meanwhile, had the live broadcast of a World Hamburger Eating Championship. It was the fourth annual Crystal Square.
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it now.
The Crystal Square Off, and the winner is an American, Joey Chestnut of San Jose, California. Joey ate 103 burgers in 8 minutes, buns and all. Crystal burgers are sliders, thin, square burgers that measure 2.5 inches across.
And I'll do anything for food.
You can actually eat one in one bite. Joey, who's not a fat guy, is also the World Hot Dog Eating Championship.
And I'll do anything for food.
Recognize his name. He won $10,000 for the burger win and the honor of being the first contestant to pass the 100 burger mark.
Way to go, Joey Chestnut.
I suppose I forgot to ask there. Is the NFL saying that this was a gigantic success?
That's the company line. That's what the commissioner, and from what you're saying, then I predict a clash next season or perhaps the season after this, however this progresses, because the commissioner's office seems very dead set on going forward with expanding the NFL worldwide, and I think you're also very right about what you're saying about the owners. So I predict some kind of trouble.
And don't you think it's just that it's the pomposity of being an American, and I'm all for that because we're the greatest. Mm-hmm. But it's like we've got this game that is unique to America. We've tried to push it down their throats before, mm-hmm. the Europeans, I mean. They don't dig it. Why can't we just be happy making as much money as the NFL does now? They got to be so.
So you think the people that were there because it was a spectacle?
They were there because there are X amount, half a million Americans mm-hmm. living in London proper.
Okay.
There are Americans who are over there as service guys. Mm-hmm. Half the crowd yesterday was full of Americans.
Okay, sure.
Anyway, that's just, they think it was great. I thought it sucked.
Oh, by the way, the Merck Drug Company has a message for the 3,000 people who took an experimental vaccine to reduce their chances of getting AIDS.
The only good thing was that big, gigantic doll of Jason Taylor from the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. Did you see that thing, that big 27-foot monster thing that actually had eyebrows that moved and big eyeballs that moved?
Yes, it was very British.
Now that is worth the hype.
Turns out the drug may have done the opposite thing. It may have increased those 3,000 people's chances for getting AIDS. Oops.
Well, and that's why you always participate in a medical experiment.
Finally, it's a kinky world, man. In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a man was arrested last Wednesday in a public restroom. Police say he was found in a compromising position with a blow-up love doll. Is there a position with a love doll in a restroom that isn't compromising? The same man was arrested 3 years ago for breaking into a bridal boutique. Back then, police found him later in an alley with a mannequin in a wedding gown. In Edinburgh, the capital of Scotland, a man's been convicted of having sex with a bicycle. Maids at a guest house unlocked a door to find the man pantsless, holding the bike and moving his hips. He is now a registered sex offender. The last case of sex with an inanimate object in the UK was 1993, when a man was arrested for having sex with a sidewalk. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh. That's what they're all about in the UK.
Hey, it's all about the friction, okay?
Yeah. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 Kid Nazi.
Four things.
Yes.
Annie Sprinkle, Jeff Stryker, Executive Getty, and curse on you.
Oh, you got it. I'm out. I don't have any.
I'm shoot.
Shoot, and I'm liver.
And I'm weed.
I'm Kid Hitler.
Woo! See you later, squirrel.
This is the Don and Mike Show.